yesterday at about 8:30, I'm getting ready to go from a hotel here in Miami and drive over to a popular podcast. And all of a sudden my phone blows up and all these, you know, big credible sites and news groups and influencers are saying, oh my God, they just released all the rest of the Epstein files. Because, you know, they're holding back a large portion of them, but they were still redacting them. The names, the quote, you know, victims, the victimizers, it seems, mainly. And so I look at it, and I had been talking to folks about the White House last week, and Trump was starting to understand that this doesn't implicate him, as he always knew, so why not bring it forward, and that they were planning to get rid of all the redactions, period. Because we need to know in these emails and other documents who these victimizers are. It's cut and dry. Raping of children, Satanism, cannibalism. I mean, there's even more insane stuff that's been found that I'll get to here in a few minutes. It's you know, and a lot more over the evening tonight that Harris is going to be going over. So I was very excited because it was just confirmation of what I was hearing. But I was like, wow, I thought they were just going to unredact the names, not automatically just release all these other files that they were processing through. Remember, it's 6 million, not 3 million. And so then I go do, you know, the podcast. And boom, I wake up this morning and people are like, hey, that's not the case. That's not what happened here. And so I went and checked it out and it's not. They just unredacted a whole bunch of the stuff and put out a letter, a document with people that are most prominently mentioned in the files using a computer program, similar to what the Economist magazine did a few days before. And of course, I'm in there dozens and dozens of times. It's all negative. I'm exposing Pizzagate and pedophilia, and then I'm a horrible person, and they need to get me. I saw the left pick that up and just show them in the file, but not to say why. But that's a side issue. I responded to that last night. So this is similar to when they had the influencer show up. They gave them binders saying, this is all the Epstein files. We looked at it with the first to break. This is old. I mean, it's not as bad as that, but it's in that territory where, boom, you know, here it is. They've put it out. And it's 9 o'clock at night on Valentine's Day, and I go and report on it. And I wish that was the case. They have to release this. And, you know, Trump's been warming towards that. He's been talking about that. He thinks it's going to hurt innocent people. And he's talking about his friends getting embarrassed, like Ludnick. Well, there's no evidence of Ludnick raping kids. But Ludnick did lie. He did say that, you know, he only met Epstein once and thought he was super creepy, him and his wife, and basically ran away. Then years later, he's at the island with his kids. Who else knows what's going on? But we continue to focus on all of that. What we need to focus on is why there aren't prosecutions of the people that are clearly in here talking about raping little girls. And we're talking about young ones. They try to keep it at the 14-year-olds, just leave it at that. It's way worse. As I said, 16, 17, 18 years ago, I was the first to say it's Satanism, it's the occult, because that's what happens in these circles. Satanism is always involved when you have organized groups doing this. I've been exposing this for over 30 years because the experts were alive then and were able to reveal the information to me, Ted Gunderson, John DeCamp, and so many others. So MTG did something when this first broke 2 weeks ago. She tweeted on X at Massey and said, listen, you need to search when you're able to get into Congress, Congress able to go to the DOJ and see the unredacted files, pizza, beef jerky, you know, things like that. Because then you can see the names of the men that are actually doing this. And still, here we are 2 weeks later, it's not happening. I'm not saying Massey's in on the cover-up. I'm not saying Massey's a bad guy. I'm saying you have all these Congress people now, Republican and Democrat, that can go in there and that can see the unredacted. And I say redacted, I mean unredacted all, but we need to know, we need to understand here that this is about going after people that committed all these crimes. Yes, keep putting pressure on Trump to release more. Yes, you know, expose all that. That's great. But we have all of these thousands of emails. I mean, there's new ones I'll get to coming up. We'll have the group pull them up on screen. It's all posted on my X feed there and at Infowars.com, where you have Woody Allen and him and all these emails and text messages talking about eating humans, how it's healthy, grinding up bones so that you get roughage. Just
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Talk about people as fiber, their bones as fiber. Made me think of the old Jack of the Beanstalk. Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he alive or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread. I mean, this isn't a fairy tale. This is really happening. So the bottom of the rabbit hole is the Satanism and the genetic engineering and the blood transfusions and the taking the tissue out of the bone marrow of the babies and babies being produced at Zorro Ranch, that, by the way, was never searched. Did you know that? 10,000 acres, giant facility. This is all coming out. This is very healthy that people aren't buying anything from the system. This is very healthy. What I've been talking about Trump is, I don't know why, if he's not involved, we've never seen evidence of any of the crimes involved the cover-up. Because it's only hurting him. It's only hurting America. And the Democrats are just jumping for joy that they're so guilty. I mean, it's the Clintons, and it's all the top Democrats, and the Leonardo DiCaprio, and the Hollywood people, and Noam Chomsky, and just on and on and on and on and on. Well, you got Steve Bannon in there, and then that's basically it. And the Steve Bannon stuff is business stuff, and I'm trying to go through all these emails. Looks like he might have been sniping at Trump or having his own agenda. Well, that's not good. I'll talk to Steve soon. I'm going to call him, talk to him about this, but the point is everybody's talking on Steve Bannon and Lebedev lying. Great, focus on that. But what about all these Harvard professors and the heads of major universities and, you know, MIT, where they're talking about rape videos of children and how great it is and how to train a baby better to suck on you know what? I mean, this is just unbelievable. And just yesterday and today, I saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these. These are FBI reports, too, where they confirm a witness's report and then later find photos in the Epstein files of a little girl, I don't want to describe it here, I posted it on X, with her vagina torn open, bleeding everywhere, men forcing their arms into her. This is prepubescent, this is, you know, not in puberty, this is pedophilia, this is rape, Satanism. Cuts all over her body, and I guess she survived because she later, as an older person, told the FBI this. And this is everything Kathy O'Brien, who I've interviewed first, I didn't interview her first, but I first interviewed her like 30 years ago when she just came out with Transformation of America. And Gunnarsson confirmed the information in it. As a child, she was satanically abused by her dad in a local coven of witches. They then handed her off to Gerald Ford there in Michigan to a big satanic coven. Then she was put into MKUltra officially, and it's a declassified MKUltra they would use. Programming for sex slaves and sex operatives. And then that's in the new emails, sending sex slaves, sending operatives. You've got high-level Harvard officials saying, we sent in our agent. She did well in the, you know, in the operation. Now I'm punishing her and raping her and torturing her. And O'Brien talked about her book 30 years ago. It's been a longer than 30, like 31, 32. Transformation of America. And she talks about the plan was to normalize all this. So people keep asking, who's the new Epstein? Well, there's always been thousands of these guys per major country. He was just a kingpin high level. And there have been a lot of other ones, you know, in Europe that were just as big that have also, you know, all been suicided that worked with Epstein. We've covered that in the UK, France, the Netherlands, you name it. It's even worse over there, if you can believe it. But Epstein is the drag queen story times. Epstein is the transgenderism, chopping children's genitals off and taking away parental consent and control in California, where 12-year-olds now have to make all their own medical decisions, fill out their own medical forms, and it's only a misdemeanor if you have sex with somebody 12 or over, 2 days in jail. They're externalizing the method. They're normalizing it. They're going from beta with Epstein and Bill Barr's dad and all the rest of it to mass scale takeover, mass scale conditioning. And so that's what's going on here. And I've been telling you this for 30 years. I was talking to the victims, to the experts. And so we've been totally vindicated in all of this. And I really wanted to, you know, believe Trump was doing the right thing. I really wanted to believe when I was hearing this was about to happen, at least the unredactions, that, oh, they unredacted everything and they released everything. Because that's what the DOJ press release said. And everybody was reporting it. They did unredact a lot. They say the rest is going to come out because so much more is being discovered. I think there's a cover, but I don't think I know. And I told you back at the time, like 10, 11 months ago, when they did the deer in the headlights stuff, Patel and Bongino, I said, they were told to do that by Trump from my sources. And then people got mad at me, so I was attacking Trump. Then it came out, it was Trump. Then I said, hey, let's give him time. As more of this comes out, we know it's a recycle of Jane Doe's and his wife's a prostitute, which wasn't true and all that. And it sure was that. So Trump's like, it's the new Russia and it'll hurt the country. And I told you that first. Now he officially says it'll hurt the country. Well, the country's already hurt. So if it crashes the stock market, so be it. I'm surprised God hasn't blown the planet up. Okay. Just be done by the heavens fall. That's what the people want. But what MTG has said is right. Hey, you've got, you know, the DOJ slow rolling this stuff, but you already have so much that's out there. Focus on getting the rest out, but also focus equally on what we've got, because it is insane. Woody Allen should be indicted. All these people, they need to unredact all the other names. Imagine who the names are. And if it's a Republican, fry them. If it's Donald Trump, then that's it, folks. All I've been is persecuted for supporting Trump by the system. So that makes me think he must be good. And he's getting out of the carbon taxes. It'll save billions of lives and secure the border and bringing jobs back and cut energy costs by 45%. I mean, that's all great. And ban men and women's sports. I mean, it's been great compared to Kamala, but it doesn't matter. I won't sit there and hold my nose while this cover-up goes on just because Trump is way better and a lesser of two evils. I don't believe in that. Now, if you don't have two emergency boats, you know, and you're in a sinking ship, lifeboats, you know, I'll take the one we've got. But at the same time, that doesn't mean I'm not going to put pressure on him and call it out. But at the same time, while we are honest and good, unlike the Democrats and hold Trump's feet to the fire, we need to spend a lot of our time with the Democrats and their evil agenda and stopping it and not just make the whole focus about Trump to prove we're holier than thou. You see, we got to have a real balance there, and that's where we are. But, man, people got excited. And it is major unredactions. It is a big move, but it's not the total complete one the way they wrote it in the press release. And they continue to pull that crap. Like, oh, this is the full Epstein files. Well, actually, it's not. Well, this is the, oh, I got, you know, Epstein abusing hundreds of girls. And a lot of evil men are going to jail. Oh, actually, he wasn't. Actually, he had no co-conspirators. I mean, give us a break. We know this is coming from Susie Wiles, is my information. And Trump agrees with it. It'll bring down the country. Well, it's already bringing down the country. And it's all being hung around your neck, Trump, when you were the guy, as I first reported 10 years ago, Roger Stone, first dropped the dime. That's Michael Wolff, one of his super confidants. One of the guys he talks to the most after Prince Andrew, you know, saying, yeah, how do we get Trump? Well, he never had a massage, never came over. That son of a bitch dropped a dime on me. So see, I mean, I'm like, Trump's not raping the kids, but he's not eating the babies. He's not draining the blood, but it doesn't matter because now you're covering for these people. It's unbelievable. Oh, there's so much more.
All right, folks, we're going to step in on this. Alex Jones giving us an update over the weekend in regards to the latest Epstein files. Happy Monday, everyone. A lot happening here. X is down in case you didn't know. But if you're watching or if you're trying to watch and you're figuring out, well, how do I figure out where to find these guys? You can find us on Rumble right now as well. Just search The American Journal with Brianna Morello, or head on over to band.video if you're audio only right now, but you want to watch band.video again, infowars.com. Click on the show. That's how you find us. But there's a lot to go through today, so buckle up, folks. We have an exclusive update regarding InfoWars and what we just recently accomplished with the federal air marshals and helped them receive their raise. It's actually a very big story because this had to do with our whistleblowers that I've been covering extensively over these last few years. So we've got a lot to discuss there. It's also my anniversary of leaving Fox Corp. It's been 4 days, or 4 years, I should say. Ugh, feels like 4 days. It's been 4 years. 4 years since I walked away from my job over at Fox. And we're going to reflect as to what they tried to put me through after I refused the jabs. Yeah, they wanted me to get both of those, of course. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll also give you an update regarding the Epstein files and what we've uncovered this weekend. And some of the controversy, there's a lot going on there. So you definitely want to dive into that. Also, Viva Fry will be joining the program, of course, to give us his perspective on all things related to the Epstein files. We also have Larry Tonin. He's doing a travel across the world right now. And right now he's actually in Israel and wanted to bring us an update because he actually did venture over to Gaza as well. And he's been on the ground there. So he wants to deliver a report from what he's witnessed so far. And, you know, Larry was over at the World Economic Forum giving these global as hell. So we look forward to seeing what he sees on the ground in Israel right now. He'll be joining the program later in the show as well in the third hour. But, folks, I want to get into a lot of updates regarding immigration as well, because a lot happening here. So let's kick things off. Let's start things off with what happened over the weekend. The DOJ has provided officially a 6-page letter to member of Congress, which some of it apparently has some type of list that they have put together. Now, this list isn't a list that you and I have been asking for. It's just a list of anyone's names who have ever been brought up in the Epstein files. And, of course, it includes a lot of people that we like. But it doesn't mean that they even met Epstein, folks. This is what's going on right now at the DOJ. The DOJ is looking to just give us the middle finger for criticizing them on their Epstein file drop. And how frustrated so many Americans were is the fact that they have not provided us with names of the attackers, the predators who were going after children. And it's not even just sexual abuse at this point. We have also seen enough emails back and forth that suggest that children were actually murdered. And so the fact that our DOJ right now has just released over 3 million documents and then still looks you straight in the face and says that there's no one who's been charged in addition to Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein, that's got a lot of people fired up because we're not stupid. We're not stupid. We're not sitting back and watching this DOJ pretend like it's out there really seeking justice for these victims. We're done with the games. We're done with the games. And it's so frustrating when you go through the list. Just keep in mind, I mean, even MTG's on the list, and I don't even think she's even met Epstein. They threw anyone's name at the wall and put this list together mainly because why? Well, people like MTG are obviously very critical of what happened under, well, obviously under President Trump. This was why she parted ways. But most importantly, people like her are very outspoken as to predators. And they didn't like this too much. So, of course, those who called in phony FBI reports, when you want to create confusion, this is something that the CIA is actually very capable of doing. They do it quite often when they want to cause chaos and confusion. They would do something like this. Drop a whole bunch of names so people can actually pin down who the predators are. You know, we're not trying to sit there and go after people who were innocent. People whose name, maybe your name came up in an email or a false tip because a lefty wanted to tie into the Epstein stuff. We're not asking for their names to be put on a list. We don't even need to go after those people. But take a look what MTG even posted. So MTG's name was on the list. And then when you go to the section where she is supposed to be included in the Epstein files, it's all redacted. It's literally a big black mark. And again, the redactions were only supposed to apply towards victims. And here we are sitting here looking at all these files and going, wow, you just blacked out an entire few pages. This isn't transparency. This isn't what the American people wanted. You see, here's the problem with all of this. We'll get into it in detail, but obviously it's being politicized by those on the left. We know that. But most importantly, it's not just being politicized by those on the left. There are also those who are now Republicans who are jumping into this. And I think some of them are taking it too far. We'll get to that in a second. I want to get to clip one for you guys because it walks you through the possibility. It's a report that came out. It walks you through the possibility that the DOJ has not actually released all of the Epstein files. But again, folks, and they're creating the confusion. That's why Alex came out over the weekend and said that there was going to be more documents put out, but there's no new documents put out. Why? Well, because they're telling us they're leaking things to sources are leaking things to those in the media. And they're telling us that there's more information coming out. They're trying to create confusion. Again, that's the reason why Alex had his report dropped. And a lot of people are critical and saying, Alex, your report that you dropped is not true. But this is what they're doing. I know this because I'm being told information from sources. And then that information is not true. And this is a constant issue with the DOJ. They are intentionally trying to, number one, cause chaos, but they're also trying to discredit a lot of these independent journalists who have been covering the files. Let's get the clip one that walks you through the idea that the DOJ maybe didn't really release all the files. Take a listen.
A Channel 4 News investigation today reveals that all those pictures, emails, videos, and messages released by the Department of Justice, said to be over 3 million pages, may amount to just a fraction of the Epstein material obtained by investigators. Why do we think that? Because these raids on Epstein's properties, his Florida mansion in 2005, and his fancy New York townhouse and sprawling luxury island in 2019 saw dozens of devices, computers, hard drives, and servers bagged and tagged and brought to FBI offices for examination. Now, emails examined by Channel 4 News show investigators discussing those very devices. From the earliest stages, investigators were talking about Epstein's data totaling many, many times what has so far been released. In June 2020, one wrote, we expect the data to be somewhere around 20 to 40 terabytes, noting that the total capacity of the devices was up to 50 terabytes. Then as recently as last year, long after the investigations into Epstein and his associates had ended, the figures quoted remained massive. We're looking at a total of approximately 14.6 terabytes of archived data, said another email. To put that in context, it is almost 15,000 gigabytes. But now, a year on from that, the total data released, claimed to be some 300 gigabytes, accounts for just 2% of the total Epstein data that officials were discussing just last year. Under the Epstein Act, DOJ attorneys had to look through all files to find any responsive material that related to Epstein, his networks, and crimes. They claimed that 6 million pages had been identified, including duplicates. They released over 3 million. Both those numbers are tiny compared to the amount collected, according to today's emails.
So it's fair to say that there actually might be some information that's being suppressed and put out there. And keep in mind, too, Thomas Massie is also on board with that idea. Thomas Massie over the weekend, and we'll play these clips later for Viva Fry, but over the weekend saying that there's a ton of things that the DOJ posted and then quickly took them down. And so not all of the information is out there yet. But here's my thing, right? We haven't seen any actual indictments come about any of this. I mean, they're literally talking about murdering children in emails. Murdering children. You'd expect possibly once emails like this come about, that there would be more investigations being done. But most importantly, maybe we just go back over to Epstein Island and see if there's any bodies hidden anywhere. Maybe we go out there and see what was being used of that sulfic acid, which again, according to people who've spoken on the issue, this shouldn't have been necessary at all. I mean, they had their own filtration system and everything. So when something like that's being utilized, it's usually being utilized to possibly, if you're trying to get rid of and dispose of bodies, that would possibly be the reason for that. But here's the thing, and if you guys don't recall this, let me just replay this video for you, because James O'Keefe, this was back, I believe it was 2025, James O'Keefe caught this video of Pam Bondi, the AG, in a cafe, and speaking very loudly, apparently, about the evidence that they were sifting through regarding Epstein. Take a listen to clip two.
Okay, Epstein files are going to get released?
We hope soon.
Nice
them.
Okay.
So. Any dates?
No, you know what it is?
Yeah,
and it's all with little kids, so they have to go through everyone.
Of course, it's of children, and we've always expected that. But now the DOJ tells you it's just CP. It's not actually videos being utilized to go against people who are there, possible, well, let's just say politicians, high up officials, Hollywood elites. They told us that these were just CP videos and nothing more. Folks, they want you to believe this. And I want you to take a look at this document, which details specifically rape. The information that's been pouring out is just off the charts. And this email that was sent out had me in tears. You heard Alex briefly discussing it. I'm going to be very vague about the details in this because I can't actually speak to it without getting really, really emotional. But it's a document that details that there's some type of video, it looks like, or a photo. It's a photo that shows a girl. Her face is visible. They know that this is an underage girl. It's very clear. And then they go into detail saying that in this photo, which they've redacted because there's a victim involved in it, says that there are several Caucasian men holding this girl's legs spread open. And I'm going to leave the rest of it to you guys to read for yourselves. Imagine the absolute worst thing you could do to a little girl. And they effing did it. These people, these demons need to be murdered. They need to be killed. We need to kill these people. They need to have their trial and they need to be killed. They need to be hung from the highest tree so that everyone knows you do not do this to children. These people are demons. They're evil. And you're telling me that there's a photo that you guys have and you can't figure out who's in that photo? You can't figure it out. Can't figure it out. The girl is obviously in brutal pain. She's bleeding, is what this photo apparently shows. And they're sitting here telling us, no, sorry, no indictments, nothing coming of any of this. Where is this girl? The details regarding what she the girl's mouth looks bloody and her tongue is extended. There's bruising on her left eye as they're doing this to her. She's bleeding from her shins. She's obviously bleeding from her female parts as well. And you just want us to go away. You want us just to move on from this. We're not moving on from this. These demons were raping and murdering children. You don't move on. You don't pretend like none of this happened. You don't pretend like none of this happened. This isn't a hoax. Yes, there are people, and we'll keep calling them out, people using this for their political gain, people who had nothing to say under the Biden regime when all this was happening. They didn't want any of the information. Now they want it because it's politically beneficial for them. They're horrible people, and I understand that, but we're not budging from any of this. There's also another full screen that we have of Jeffrey Epstein, and it looks like, appears to be, that he's ordering minors from Ukraine. No proof, FBI, says the FBI, that he was running a human smuggling trafficking campaign. It's just so upsetting, and it's hard to put into words. It's hard to put into words that we sit here, we're getting all this information, it's all dropping, and nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Folks, in a little bit, I'm going to go to the Steve Bannon angle on all of this, because I have not heard anything from Steve Bannon as to why he was texting Jeffrey Epstein. And we'll dive into the details of that, but even in one text message, it shows that Steve Bannon is calling Jeffrey Epstein a god. Again, I don't go after our people usually, but he's got to answer some questions here. We can't just sit here and pretend like this didn't happen. I'll dive into just specifics. Can you tell it's a Monday? In just a few moments. In the meantime, though, folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We have 52% off site-wide. It's our mega sale. Now, it's going to end on Tuesday, so you got to stop what you're doing and head on over to the shop. 52% off site-wide. Again, when you support us, it's what keeps us on air. It helps with our next projects, and we are very grateful for you doing that over at thealexjonesstore.com. And also, this is the final week to win both the Ford Mustang Shelby GT500 as well as the Ford F-250. Plus $20,000 in cash. Remember, every time you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you are entering to win possibly those two cars and a bunch of cash. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Also, don't forget, we just launched those energy shots, and I'm telling you, folks, if you're trying to weed off the caffeine, you got to try out the energy shots right now over at thealexjonesstore. Can't speak, it's Monday.com. Head on over there right now.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones until I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid. So, your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. X has been down for a little bit, but it keeps popping back up, going back down. So if you're watching on X because you have a glimpse of the show right now, head on over to Rumble. The American Journal with Brianna Morello is where you can find us right now. We're streaming there as well. We're also streaming on band.video. I can promise you those websites are not going down anytime soon. So if you'd like to head on over there to keep watching, feel free to do just that. But folks, I want to get back into the Epstein files that have been, we're stepping through them slowly. There's a lot coming out, though, about Steve Bannon. And we have to address it because we can't sit here and ignore it and look the other way. Steve Bannon is obviously coming up quite frequently in these files. And it's because apparently he was texting with Epstein. Now, his text messages with Epstein have a lot of us asking more questions. And unfortunately, we haven't really heard Steve speak out on behalf of himself to kind of defend himself on all of this. But it looks like Steve Bannon was obviously very friendly with the convicted pedophile. And that's obviously extremely, extremely concerning. And in this text message that has just recently surfaced, it's very clear that Steve was very close with Jeffrey Epstein. And in this text change, they're talking about possibly he suggests that, Jeff. It's so crazy to me that Jeffrey Epstein is somehow a god. And then Epstein responds, I don't think of myself that way. And then Bannon says, I do. Now, obviously, this is really, really concerning, because why is Steve Bannon calling Jeffrey Epstein a god? Again, we'd love to hear from him on this issue. You know, I saw Jack Posobiec come out and say we're not going to stop with the Epstein files. But it's quite clear that Steve Bannon and Jeffrey Epstein had a very close friendship while he was a convicted pedo. Now, obviously, in this space, if you're doing shows and stuff, it's hard to fund those shows. So maybe it was a financial friendship. But again, when Steve's not coming out to defend himself or speak and put these messages in context, I think that's not doing him any favors. And it also appears that he may have been going after President Trump behind the scenes. And General Michael Flynn isn't holding back. He actually is calling this out. The White House, or at least the DOJ, need to come out and say what their plan is with this information. I remember all the 25th Amendment talk back in the first term. It was really ugly. If Bannon and Epstein were behind it, Bannon needs to be brought in for questioning. And that's coming from General Flynn. And it doesn't stop there. Also, guys, remember, these are Flynn allies. MTG also took the X as well. And she highlights the fact that, yeah, Steve Bannon, you know, did go to prison for President Trump. But then he was also texting with Epstein about the 25th Amendment. Also, there is no excuse for having such a friendly relationship with a convicted, obviously she's talking about convicted pedo, none. That's MTG coming out saying that as well, folks. And MTG has been a big ally of Bannon's. And as you heard, we opened up the show with that clip of Alex summarizing the latest Epstein files. You heard Alex say that he's going to ask some questions too, because you can't keep appearing on Steve Bannon's show, folks, if he doesn't address these issues. Was it just a financial friendship? Or does he really view Jeffrey Epstein, a convicted pedo, as a god? Again, this is very important that we get to the bottom of this. And I love what Steve Bannon's done for the movement. I love how he's now hyper-focused on Texas and trying to prevent the Islamification of Texas. But we can't shift over to that without having these key discussions. Put these text messages into context for the American people, because we need to know. Why are you texting Jeffrey Epstein after he was convicted of being a sex offender? It was well known what Jeffrey Epstein was doing behind closed doors. You know, there's also the release of the information that kind of made it look like Steve Bannon was coaching Jeffrey Epstein. And again, these are all allegations. But when we're left with just text messages and we don't have the individual putting into context, it is quite concerning. We're talking about a convicted pedophile, folks. It's not a rumor. Jeffrey Epstein was convicted at the time of all of this. The messages that are getting put out there are just absolutely disturbing, and it's so frustrating to see, because it breaks my heart what they've done to these children. I mean, we're hearing from the adults who are able to speak about it. What about the kids? What about the kids that never made it out of there? You can't tell me that there were no bodies found on Epstein Island. You can't convince me of that. There's too much evidence that they were killing children. Reid Hoffman is doing his very best attempt to try to distance himself from the Epstein files as well, which I think is laughable. There's an email of Epstein and his little bestie, Reid Hoffman. Well, between Epstein's inviting Reid Hoffman to the island and the ranch, and the email says, let's play. What kind of sick-ish were these animals up to? These demons. They're not even animals, they're demons. Now, again, Reid Hoffman is denying any type of pedophilia association with Epstein. And even on X, they had to correct him. And I love this one because it's just such garbage, right? Because Elon Musk is going right after Reid Hoffman. He's been doing this for quite some time. My favorite part of this is in a response to Elon Musk saying that that Reid Hoffman should be investigated, Reid Hoffman quote tweets him and says, the FBI cleared me. You, on the other hand, Elon Musk, I've not seen anything that suggests that Elon Musk was sexually abusing children or participating in anything demonic. So just keep that in mind. If you have, you could let us know, but I have not seen it as of yet. But I have seen a lot about Reid Hoffman. A lot of creepy messages, in my opinion. Now, Reid Hoffman claims that he was cleared by the FBI, but the community notaries step in and they say no official public FBI clearance for Hoffman is found. His claim refers to the 2025 internal FBI note of no hit in Epstein files. And then, of course, the DOJ releases connections, but there's no wrongdoing according to the DOJ. Oh, got it. Got it. Got it. Sure, let's play just means let's play. How many of you grown men at home have ever texted your guy friends, let's play, after you invite them over? That would be gay, would be the presumption of receiving a message like that. So what can I assume from it? Well, I can only assume that the worst of the worst are what they're talking about here. The demonic things that they were participating in, allegedly. Again, the DOJ not indicting anyone, not even really investigating anyone. Although they say it's ongoing, if we get tips, we'll look into it. Yeah, yeah. We saw how the DOJ looks into tips. They don't actually care. They don't actually care. They don't actually care. Over 3 million documents released. Apparently, you've got a human trafficker right now serving time in federal custody, but you can't tell us who she was trafficking those children to. We've got over 3 million documents, but we can't actually make an arrest in any of this or launch a real investigation into the individuals who were wrapped up in these emails, wrapped up in these discussions, wrapped up in these photos. Now we can. We can't. You know, maybe that photo of that young girl being brutally sexually abused, maybe what we should do there is find the body markers of the individuals who are clearly displayed according to the description in the photo and then go identify them ourselves. It wouldn't be hard, folks. They've left you over 3 million documents. According to the DOJ, that's all they have. And you're telling me you can't sit here and find one person to go after. The cover-up is real. It's the intentional cause of chaos is what's happening right at the DOJ. This was never going to be a well-orchestrated release of this information. The goal here was to, again, there's a lot of journalists who are being given false information from DOJ sources, and I'm telling you folks, don't just be dismissive. Just because someone puts something online, they're an investigative journalist who you've trusted over the years, and, you know, I know, again, a lot of people were jumping on Alex over the weekend, doesn't mean that he didn't get that from a DOJ source. Why am I saying this? It means that they're trying intentionally to cause chaos. That's what this means. When you release a whole list of names to members of Congress, people who didn't even meet Jeffrey Epstein, who aren't being featured in any of these demonic videos, photos, none of that. When you intentionally put people who they know are innocent, who haven't done anything, who haven't even met Jeffrey Epstein or been to his island or any of his real estate properties, when you drop those names into a long laundry list, it's very obvious what you're trying to do, and you're trying to create chaos. You are trying to do exactly what the CIA does all the time overseas. They're doing it here. They're doing it in front of us. They're doing it to us. They cause chaos. You'll eventually just give up. And listen, I don't want to give up on all any of this. I do have Epstein fatigue, though, and I'm not going to deny that. Mainly because I'm watching all these politicians come out there, and they're pushing forward as if they've seen names, but they can't tell us this. Thomas Massie came from a good place when he started this mission. Of course, the president, who's made a lot of personal digs at him, which I have said repeatedly are extremely inappropriate, of course, now he's going to go all in on this. And I highly recommend that he does just that. You might as well. You might as well. Think of all the people in Congress who have been pushed out of the White House or have been pushed out of D.C. because the president has decided to go after him. I mean, MTG is now sitting on the outskirts of all of this. Why? Because, well, why would she sit there and continue to fight this fight when everyone's attacking her for asking simple questions? For asking simple questions. But then you have people like Nancy Mace. And Nancy Mace, will never miss an opportunity to make something about herself. And that's the kind of person she is. And I continuously go out there and call her out because I've had enough of Nancy Mace. She is not a politician who actually authentically cares for women. And this is my problem with her. In my opinion, I think Nancy Mace is a troll. I think she's trying to take advantage of all of this. And I think she wants to put herself off as if she's a outspoken advocate for sexual assault survivors. And let me tell you something, folks. If that is our representation, we are in a lot of trouble. She has continuously made everything about herself, right? Speaking to the victims and storming out of congressional rooms, crying hysterically, can't talk. But she goes out where the media is. Why? Because she's hoping you can catch her shot so she can make this all about herself. Everything in the Epstein files is so horrible that a grown woman who was elected to represent people in South Carolina can't even hold her composure to have these discussions, to listen to these victims, because it's all about Nancy Mace. That's the reason why she's done all these things that she's done. That's the reason why she showed up to the prayer breakfast talking about having premarital sex with a man she wasn't married to. I mean, this is what she is. And again, I don't go out there and like to slut shame women. That will never be my thing. But folks, she is just one of the biggest frauds we have in Congress right now. And I just can't sit here and pretend like she's not. In fact, she's made accusations about one of her exes and his friends, which again, there's been no criminal charges filed in any of this. And she made those claims with immunity. And she made those claims on individual shows like Steven Crowder's show, like Dan Ball's show over at OAN, which resulted in all of them being slapped with a defamation lawsuit. And again, the men she's accusing, who she claims she had all this video evidence again, haven't been criminally charged. But she dragged their names through the mud. And Steven Crowder did his best job possible to challenge the accusations she was making. Because number one, she had no proof. Number two, she kept saying that law enforcement doesn't want to do its job. Honey, you're a member of Congress. You create a little bit of pressure and they'll jump on board. You're telling me that locally, you can't get, these were the claims that she was making on Steven's show. You can't get local law enforcement to jump in and investigate any of this? File charges, arrest these people. I mean, she was making crazy claims. Again, none of these claims have been proven at all. But she claimed that her ex had videos of her walking around naked. Again, I mean, if it's a surveillance camera that's in line, like your clear sight, and you're walking around naked still with it, that's your fault. That's your fault. But again, there's no accusation that this individual posted it online. It's just that she claims that she's found it in his phone. And then Nancy Mace, of course, you remember that post she had on X. Oh, I'm going to be going over to Congress. So I'm going to be showing my nudes. Any woman would be absolutely horrified, would not be able to make light of the incident if it was truly, truly something that was traumatic. That was traumatic. And we're not talking about a woman who's 18 years old, 19 years old. Anyone under 25, I usually just kind of write off and just say, young and dumb. We're talking about a grown-ass woman. A grown-ass woman, and she continues to go out there and make everything about herself. So now that we have Thomas Massie, Congressman, the great Congressman Thomas Massie out there trying his best to push all this stuff out there, you have other people trying to jump on the wave. But you can't just let one person get all the attention. No, no, no. You have to go out there and drop all these sound bites. And she just can't stop teasing. It's like she's trying to tease a novella episode. If you ever watch those, it's obviously, if it's a very dramatic Hispanic Spanish-speaking soap opera. And so everything about her, there she is. Here's my nudes, guys. Any woman who has been sexually abused would never be able to in a million years do what she did. Why? Because of the trauma. It's the Nancy Mace show. And she continues to do just that. In clip three, she's actually going out there. And again, she's trying to deep tease it like she's talking about a novella episode, and she's trying to tease it as if it's something salacious. Take a listen.
An event with several Hollywood celebrities that the Epstein group was trying to rent out a venue to do a movie showing with these Hollywood celebrities long after he was convicted and served time in prison for being a pedophile. And so when I would see this, I just... These are names everybody knows. These are movie stars. These are media pundits. These are billionaires. It's really unbelievable, and it's shocking what has gone on here. The other thing that's shocking.
Nancy, then say the names. Say the names, Nancy. She continues to go out there, and I'm going to jump in on this. She continues to go out there and sit there and tell you, oh, it's shocking. There's so many A-list names, so many Hollywood elitists in this. Tell us, Nancy. Tell us. Tell us. I'm so fed up with the teasing. I'm so fed up with people dangling this out there and saying, oh, you'll never believe. Stop giving people rage bait. We're talking about children who were raped, who were murdered. To sit here and keep dropping off these little sound bites so that maybe we'll go viral, maybe we'll get some clicks on X, it's garbage. It's garbage behavior. But this is what they're doing. So Nancy Mace, I've had enough of her. I'm over Nancy. I don't want to hear from her anymore. There's not an ounce of credibility that woman has. I would never have her on a show of mine because she'll make claims that are baseless. She'll go out there and drag some guy's reputation down the mud. And then we'll, good luck with your lawsuit now that you're being sued. She's an absolute mess. Let's shift gears a little bit though. Let's get to some positive news. Speaking of children, let's talk about clip four, because the Border Czar Tom Homan says that he has located now 145,000 missing migrant children. That's been, of course, the lead efforts of DHS. DHS trying to locate over 300,000. And again, the number varies. I've heard from DHS that the number is close to 400,000 migrant children that have gone missing. Listen to the Border Czar in his update in clip four.
Over 3,300 children. Mm. You know, last administration, over 500,000 children smuggled in this country, released to unvetted sponsors. They lost track of 300,000 of them. President Trump has already found 145,000 of them. In Minnesota alone, over 3,300 missing children we found that the last administration wasn't even looking for.
Yeah, they weren't looking for them. They actually were running the hugest, I mean, the most massive human smuggling trafficking campaign we've ever seen in our country's history. And they got away with it. They got away with it. The fact that these people aren't being charged, they knew what they were doing, right? There were all these brave whistleblowers who came forward to talk about what was actually going on behind the scenes. And still to this day, they don't have a job. They haven't been asked to help. None of this. None of this. And they continue to go out there and plead. I mean, Aaron Stevenson, as many of you guys know, Aaron is one of the individuals who was forced out of DHS when he blew the whistle regarding what he uncovered. They still haven't brought him back in. And when I asked off the record, can't say that part, but I'm told that a lot of people aren't happy because he went public with it. One would think, right, when a guy comes up and he's trying to become a whistleblower, no one internally is listening to the fact that children are being handed off to cartel members. No one's thinking, wow, this is really, really bad. Maybe we should do something about it. When no one does anything about it, where do you go? Well, obviously, you have to let everyone know, and he did so. And because of it, still under this DHS, he's actually still being punished. Has not been brought back in. And I know the number of 145,000 missing migrant children being located is a great number. But imagine the number we could get to if we brought back these whistleblowers. But again, DHS does have its work cut out for them, and I want to remind our audience of that. Obviously, the Biden regime imported all of these illegal invaders by the millions for a reason, because they knew that we weren't going to be able to deport them quick enough. And as a result of all of this, they've had to expand the courts, which they're actively looking to do. By the way, if you want to become an immigration judge in this country, you actually don't even need a law license to do so. I highly recommend everyone get involved in that if you can. They are hiring actively, but most importantly, you have to build up these detention centers, and they're doing just that. ICE plans to spend $3.3 billion on acquiring and retrofitting warehouses nationwide. Now, these facilities will be used to hold illegals. So far, they've actually purchased about 16 buildings. One just actually recently went up in New York as well. Lexi Daughtry, she's running for Congress in Georgia, and Georgia's in a lot of trouble, and that's why I wanted to highlight this specifically, because one would think that Georgia is a safe red state, does house rhinos though, but one would think that, but that's not the case. They have Democrats running who are far, far left. Take a listen to clip five and how she details what it's like now that ICE is purchasing these detention facilities.
ICE just bought the facility behind me, where they are planning to house 10,000 people. It's crazy. This is a concentration camp. I just have to ask. We're paying for this. Is anyone out there actually supportive of this? Of holding 10,000 people in a warehouse?
Yeah. Well, I am. And the American people are, by the way. We actually voted for this because we want these people to be held in a warehouse. Folks, did you see the story? They were trying to push this really hard about an Irish man. We got a couple of minutes, so I want to get this one in. An Irish man who's claiming that he was being held captive by ICE. And he claims that the facility itself was really, really bad. In fact, he refers to the facility that he's being held at, which was in El Paso, Texas, as a concentration camp. Take a listen to clip six.
The best way I could describe it is probably like a modern-day concentration camp. It's a bunch of temporary tents. There's probably room for 1,000 detainees in each tent. I believe there's like 5 tents. I've been locked in the same room now for 4.5 months. I've had barely any outside time, no fresh air, no sunshine. I could probably count on both hands the amount of times I've been outside. So just locked in this room all day, every day. We've got 2 TVs on the wall. We get 3 meals a day, very, very small meals, kid-sized meals. So everybody's hungry, everybody's tired. We've got no commissary. We've got no options to get extra food or anything like that. The conditions here are filthy.
Oh, poor guy. Let's step in on this because this guy was ordered years ago to be deported. He's actually overstayed his visa. And the worst part about it, well, when you look at his personal background, according to his own twin daughters, he actually abandoned them. Melissa and Heather both spoke out. They've recently just turned 19. And they're not very happy with the media's attention to the story, mainly because they say that their father is a deadbeat dad. They're accusing him of being just that. And they're also accusing him of not being the man he's trying to perceive himself to be in front of the media. Yeah, I'd say if you abandon your twin daughters, which are the allegations he's currently facing, that you probably are, in fact, a scumbag. And we probably should put you somewhere that's not as nice as an ICE detention facility, I'd say. Folks, we got a lot happening throughout the rest of the show. Larry Todden is going to be joining me in just a few moments. He's got a lot to discuss. He is in Israel right now. And he wants to bring us a report, so we'll do just that in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because we have their 52% off site-wide mega sale. It's still going on today. It is going to end tomorrow, though, so you got to stop what you're doing and head on over to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. So many incredible supplements right now on sale, 52% off. Your support is what keeps us on air. When you support this broadcast, I make sure that you get real value, not just junk, not filler, but real value, and we do just that, too, with our supplements as well. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. And just a reminder, this is the final week to enter to win a Ford Mustang and a Ford F-250 plus $20,000 in cash. Every time you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you're entering to win one of those sick rides. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us,
We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, supporters will be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Getting ready to kick off the second hour of the program. Larry Taunton is joining the program today. In just a few moments, he'll be joining us, followed by Viva Fry as well in the second hour of the program. So buckle up. In the third hour, we'll be taking some of your calls, of course. So we'll start that up in a little bit. But I wanted to make sure we dove into this story. It's kind of good news, and it's on a global level. Well, apparently, a lot of people are getting rid of those Afghan refugees. As many of you guys know, millions of Afghans poured out of the region after the Taliban reclaimed power. And, well, now they're being forced to head on back. Approximately 5.4 million Afghans have returned to Afghanistan since 2023. Now, that's mainly due to the fact that countries like, you know, Pakistan and Iran and others are just refusing to grant them asylum and are making them go back. So far, from just those two countries alone, 2.9 million have returned in just 2025 alone. And other countries like our own are looking to ship them back. Again, so far for this year alone, 150,000 of them have gone back. And it's only happening because countries are refusing to give them asylum, like I mentioned. But the UN Refugee Agency, well, they want you to have empathy. And they put up an article about it, pretty much going over all of this and how sad this is that Afghans are being sent back to their own country, saying that it's causing economic issues, humanitarian issues, infrastructure issues in Afghanistan itself. And obviously that these people are returning to severe poverty and other challenges, of course. Now, the UN is asking for other countries to pour millions and millions more dollars into this crisis. They're currently asking for 2026 to receive $216 million. That's how much they want for these Afghan refugees, of course. I would assume most are not going to be giving up that cash anytime soon, but it's good to know that they're heading on back. All right, let's shift gears to another story. DHS is expanding its efforts. This is according to the New York Times, to identify Americans who oppose ICE. Now, they're doing this to by going after tech companies and requesting a bunch of different documents in regards to all of this. Companies like Google, Reddit, Discord, Meta, they're all receiving in Facebook, as many of you guys know, is owned by Meta. As many of you guys know, DHS has been very aggressive in all of this. Very aggressive in all of this. What are they looking for? Well, I mean, they're clearly trying to uncover the bot accounts here. And that's where I think I'm going to go with this. This has been a major issue. As many of you guys know, there's a lot of fake. If you use X and use other platforms, there's a lot of fake accounts out there that are trying their best to increase the tensions between the left and the right in this country. They're pushing for full out chaos. And our own CIA does it overseas. So listen, I'm not going to be someone searching for empathy here. But what I think this is all about, although the New York Times claims that they're just upset for people who criticize the administration, I think there's more to it. I don't think it's just that. I actually think that they are trying to find who is orchestrating these bot accounts, these farm systems that are going out there and trying to create political discourse here in the United States. That's what I think this is all about. So that's my take. But the New York Times seems to think that they're just trying to go after those with anti-ICE accounts. But it's a well-orchestrated effort. I mean, anytime there's tensions kind of brewing, whether the two DHS-involved shootings or something else, they always seem to be a mountain of bot accounts going out there and trying to stir the pot. So if I had to go with my best gut instinct, I think that's what DHS is looking for. All right, folks, we have a lot to discuss coming up in the show. Also in the third hour, it is my 40-year anniversary of leaving Fox Corp. In case you didn't know what was happening behind the scenes, I'll, you know, give you a little reminder. But man, oh man, has it been quite the adventure over these last 4 years. Plus, I'll bring you an exclusive story. It's an exclusive As many of you guys know, we broke a report regarding TSA and how an administration official within TSA did not fill out the proper paperwork to make sure that federal air marshals were receiving the raises that was promised by President Trump to all federal law enforcement agencies. Well, TSA has a bit of a feud to pick with the federal air marshals. We all know just that. I'll break down the latest because guess what? We won. A lot to discuss in just a little bit.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Brianna Morello has the dots they don't want connected, the truth they can't censor. The American Journal continues live on X and band.video worldwide.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're connecting a lot of dots these days, and we're glad that you're jumping on with us today. Twitter was down for a little bit, but it's getting back into play, so welcome aboard for those of you who maybe were in the blackout because X was down. In case you didn't know, band.video is where you go to watch this show live, also InfoWars.com as well. Just click on the American Journal tab, and you could also watch us on Rumble. The American Journal with Brianna Morello is the page you could watch this at as well. And then for those of you listening on radio, welcome aboard. We are glad to have you here, of course. But let's dive into a story regarding one of the squad members, AOC. She told the crowd in Germany, this is why it's so funny, that Israel was committing genocide. And then again went on to using the comparisons to Nazis in regards to Israel's war in Gaza. Now, folks, I don't care what, how you personally feel about this, just from a step foot back. You're talking to Germans about genocide. Kind of strange, right? Well, someone's right now on the ground over in Israel, and he's going to break down the very latest that he's seeing in front of him right now. Larry Taunton's back on the show. He's host of Ideas Have Consequences. You could find him on X at Larry Taunton. And he does a great job at reporting for us for abroad. He's been on this adventure. He's been traveling all across the world. As many of you guys know, we had him on a little while ago, and he was over in Davos. And now, Larry, you find yourself in Israel. So, you know, I want to hear from your perspective what you're seeing on the ground right now in Israel. But first, I want to hear your main reaction to AOC speaking to a crowd of Germans and telling them all that what's going on right now between Israel and Gaza, well, that's actually genocide. Your reaction?
Well, first, let me say, Brianna, that I am now back in continental Europe. So I was just in Israel, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and down at Gaza. But let's bear in mind, let's go back in time just a bit during Trump's first administration when AOC was the one who was comparing the border cages to concentration camps. And you may remember that the people at Auschwitz said, you know, AOC, we'd love to give you a tour of an actual concentration camp so that you will know not to say something quite so stupid. So here she is saying something again. She has no idea what's going on in Israel. And listen, October 7th, which is what initiated Israel's response to Gaza, it was an act of war. And in the United States, it is generally downplayed as a kind of a Bondi Beach or Charlie Hebdo type event on an attack on a Woodstock, a type of outdoor rock concert and, you know, isolated, small, terrible, but really, Israel's response is disproportionate. That's the narrative. And that, of course, is not true. October 7th was an act of war by Hamas. And of course, everybody knows that Hamas is Gaza.
Yeah, well, that's what I want to dive into for a second, Larry, but I kind of want to get your take on this because there's been plenty of reports regarding Israel's knowledge about October 7th. And, you know, we've been told that the Egyptians actually warned Israel that October 7th was in fact being planned. Now, I don't think they got the exact date, but they were warned about all of this. Given the fact that Israel really does have quite the impressive national security, obviously the dome being one of the key elements in all of this. And by the way, also our own Congress backing up, which is rare, Egypt's claims that they did notify Israel prior to all of this. So we could probably say definitely that this is true right now. 1,000%, I'll go with that. Larry, how do you think about all of this? Because the timing of it's quite strange. A lot of people are going after Benjamin Netanyahu at the time of all of this. And then once October 7th happened, all of the criticism was was quickly kind of silenced. So what do you make of the criticism that, you know, Israel didn't do enough to prepare that day? And in fact, many people who believe that Israel didn't do anything to defend their people that day and in fact wanted this to happen so that it gave them the justification to go into Gaza and do what we've seen happen over these last few years.
Well, there's a lot that can be said about that. First of all, Brian, I was in Cairo last year, and you may recall it made, you know, big headlines, and I found myself offering testimony to the Congressional Oversight Committee because it was in Cairo that I went to the offices, really a compound of USAID, and found myself in a three-hour standoff in the streets of Cairo with the Egyptian secret police, who clearly had every intention of disappearing me. The only reason they didn't is because Trump had just, you know, had just taken office, and they weren't quite sure that I wasn't someone who was sent by Donald Trump, which was, of course, the claim that I made. I was making it up, just trying to walk my way through the entire thing. But what I had stumbled upon, Brianna, was that the USAID office there was almost certainly being run by the Muslim Brotherhood. And who's the Muslim Brotherhood? The Muslim Brotherhood has a very strong presence in Egypt. And Hamas is the military wing of the Muslim Brotherhood. And we know that October 7th, a lot of the weapons, indeed, a lot of the trucks, cars, golf carts, things of this nature were smuggled into Gaza through Egypt, through tunnels coming from Egypt. So if I'm the Israelis and I'm told by Egyptian state security that, hey, you know, the Hamas is planning something, I don't take it particularly seriously. And I'll also say this, my own conversations with high-ranking Israeli government officials, both IDF, Netanyahu's government, as well as the police force, they all say to me that Israel's state security and the IDF have been seriously downgraded in recent decades by, does this sound familiar, by leftist policies, DEI type of stuff, by budget cuts. And one of them said to me flat out, he said, listen, this was like Pearl Harbor in that we were arrogant. We didn't think Hamas has long been deemed Israel's weakest enemy. We didn't think they were capable of an attack of this scale. And of course, they breached the wire in no less than 100 places, and some 7,000 Hamas terrorists came into Israel, and they just simply were not ready for it. And they will admit that.
Yeah. I think it's hard to see how they were unprepared for it. I would like to possibly get more of a public kind of pushback on that from Benjamin Netanyahu. Maybe him defend himself a little bit, because I don't think we've actually heard, I haven't heard him personally speak to any of it. So I think that's where a lot of the criticism lies. But, you know, I kind of want to fast forward in all of this and talk about what's happening now, because you were, like you just said, on the ground in Gaza. What have you witnessed so far?
Well, Let me say this that I think will be very helpful to you, Brianna. First of all, Netanyahu had been prime minister for only 9 months prior to the attack. So the previous administrations were pressured. Again, does this sound familiar? They were pressured by the Biden administration to issue work visas, as many as 20,000 work visas to Gazans. So guess what happened? Hamas saw this as their wonderful opportunity to gather intel. So when all these people are crossing their border into Israel, they're hiding weapons and they are, gathering intel about the kibbutzim, the border agricultural communities of Israel, so that when they attacked, they knew exactly where to go. They knew what houses did and didn't have dogs. They knew the names, of the people inside. And again, this is part and parcel of the left's open border policy.
Yeah. Well, Larry, I kind of want to ask, obviously October 7th was a horrific day and, you have to respond militarily. You can't just allow that to happen in your country and you have to go out there and get these hostages back. Do you think what you've seen so far on the ground, what you've seen personally unfold in front of you, do you think that Israel so far has acted within its own boundaries and everything has been appropriate so far on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, on October 7th, 1,200 Israelis were killed. Untold numbers of women were raped, mutilated, old people were killed. 251 of them taken hostages into the more than 350 miles of tunnels, the labyrinth that's beneath Gaza. So, claims of genocide, it's like saying, was the United States guilty? I know there's, some idiots who are listening who will say, well, yes, they were, but was the United States guilty of genocide in bombing Tokyo and bombing Dresden and bombing Bremen in retaliating? Listen, Hamas can end this war anytime they want to, just as the Germans and the Japanese and World War II could do the very same, but they won't. And the reason they won't is because they don't care. And what we are hearing from hostages that were released from Gaza is they will say to you, there's not an innocent person in Gaza. They will say these people are all complicit. They were cheering as we were abused. They were cheering the hostages. They were cheering the bodies. They brought back bodies and heads back into Gaza. They were cheering all of this. And the October 7th attack could not have occurred without the complicity of the people of Gaza. That's just a reality. And so Israel realizes that they, they're engaged in a war. And if Hamas wants to end it, then they can do so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the key part in all of this. I mean, you're on the ground there. Do you think that this war is going to end anytime soon? Because it still kind of looks active. What was your kind of feel for it on the ground?
I don't. And the thing that I would liken it to, Brianna, is I think of, say, something like in World War II, like Okinawa, meaning that we're talking about an ideologically warped, enemy. These are people, they want all Jews dead. They want the state of Israel completely annihilated. They want to mutilate. They want to kill. There's no reasoning with these kinds of people. And in Okinawa, the United States found itself, well, we can drop leaflets and we can reason with these people. And of course, the reality was that they couldn't. And the fact is that Hamas is dug in literally, into Hamas with these tunnels I mentioned, more than 350 miles of them. And they deliberately put them beneath schools, beneath hospitals, beneath places of, public gathering. And that's because they're just as the United States found itself in Afghanistan and in Japan and elsewhere, you're fighting an enemy that is using your morality against you. They're using human shields, and they were using hostages in this same kind of way. So, Israel, finds itself in a rock and a hard place because the Biden administration was complicit in releasing billions of dollars that Trump had frozen to prevent Hamas from being able to buy weapons, to prevent Iran from supplying them with weapons. Trump had frozen that money. The Biden administration released it. And guess what? October 7th happened. And one of the things that I really want to drive home to your audience, Brianna, is these are the kinds of things that are going to start happening in the United States out of places like Minneapolis.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one of my fears, honestly. And as we sit here in Texas and watch as our neighborhoods are turning into Muslim sanctuaries, it is concerning. There was a lot of reports from independent journalists about how Christians are being treated right now in Israel as well. And I wanted to get your take on this because, you know, these reports, and again, it's very hard to vet for myself, honestly, because some people are obviously partisan on the issue. And so I'm a little on edge these days, but I've heard reports that Christians are treated unfairly, that churches obviously are not really welcomed in Israel. What is it like for you personally as you're on the ground there?
Well, first, let me state that I'm an evangelical Christian. And as my name would suggest, I'm about as WASP as it gets. I mean, I am a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant on both sides of my family as far as it goes. But fairness matters here. And it's, you know, it's Tucker Carlson who first raised this. And Tucker, I say this publicly, I'll happily debate you. I will happily debate you on the propaganda that you're pushing, because on the one hand, Tucker Carlson was denying, he was platforming a guy who was saying, hey, you know, Christian persecution in Nigeria, it's not happening. Tucker, I was there. You weren't. I wrote a series for Fox News called the Forgotten Christians of Nigeria. They are being annihilated by Muslims there. It is happening. A genocide is happening. So Tucker Carlson says, not really happening there. And now here he is claiming that there's this persecution of Christians in Israel. The issue there is quite a lot more complicated. First of all, what would be happening is nothing like what we would call persecution, nothing like what is happening in Nigeria. And indeed, Christians, you know, the way Tucker Carlson is framing it, are suffering in the United States, you know, due to policies and these things. But I did investigate this because all of this came up while I was in Israel. And what's fascinating is this, the people that Tucker Carlson is referring to, of course, he was in Jordan. He wasn't in Israel either. He didn't go to Nigeria. He didn't go to Israel. Mm-hmm. But the people he's referring to, he's talking about Arabs who have become Christians. And you see, when you're going into Israel from, say, Bethlehem, which is controlled by the Palestinian Authority, when you're going into Israel, they have to show their ID. Their ID does not state that they are Christians. Your religious background is not stated. Your ethnicity, however, is. And so no doubt there are a number of these people who are Christians, not Muslims, but their IDs state that they are Arabs. And yet, listen, the Israelis are very wary of letting any Arabs into the country. But the bigger question that should be asked here is, why are they trying to go into Israel in the first place? Well, it's because the Palestinian Authority doesn't give them free medical care. Israel does. So they're getting free medical care coming into Israel. But listen, when I was coming in to Israel, there was nothing that stated I was an evangelical Christian, but they looked and saw that I had done work for CNN. I was never employed by CNN. I'm freelance, writer, columnist, investigative journalist. But when they saw CNN, you know, in my byline, they weren't real keen on letting me in. I can't blame them for that. So this is a country that has been attacked from within by Arabs who were coming into the country, and October 7th was a product of that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to hear your perspective on it. Obviously, you're on the ground and you're the one who's doing all of the reporting there. So I appreciate multiple perspectives on this. And I'm glad you kind of cleared that one up, because that was obviously something that was deeply, deeply concerning for me specifically. So thank you for that. But you're also, you know, you're a well-traveled guy right now. You're traveling all across Europe. You're talking to these Europeans. And, you know, we constantly hear from those on the left here in the United States that we're not respected around the world, and people don't really respect us anymore because of President Donald Trump. What do people say when you talk to them about the United States currently and President Donald Trump?
Well, it's very interesting, Brianna. First of all, let me say my own opinion. I don't care what any other country thinks of my president. I don't care. That doesn't matter to me. But secondly, the left has always been hypersensitive to what Europeans, not Africans or Asians, but what Europeans think of the United States. And that's because they're very insecure, kind of people. What you discover in Europe and in Africa and in the Middle East, interestingly enough, is the same kind of divide between what I'll call the elitists, not the elites. That's a compliment to them. They're elitists. They think they're better than you. And what we'll call common people or populism, the populace. And what you discover is that the champagne swilling sorts, they don't like Trump. They don't like Trump. But what you find is, in the equivalent to red staters in Europe, they love him. So you get into a taxi driver in Paris, you generally find if they're French, you generally find they like Trump. But when you start hanging around, policy wonks and, the lobbies of expensive hotels, you'll find a very different kind of attitude there. I thought it was fascinating. I was having a meeting on a beach in Tel Aviv with this woman, and she came wearing a Make America Great hat. And I was wondering what the reaction would be. The Israelis on that beach loved it. And it's because they love Trump. And that's because they're generally, more inclined towards populism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I mean, I can understand why they'd be on board with the MAGA movement these days. Larry Taunton, you're doing an incredible job at reporting on the ground, and not just Israel, but all across Europe, as you did give us a breakdown in Davos as well. So we're very grateful for your time. Folks at home right now, make sure you give him a follow on X at Larry Taunton, where you could find him. And of course, he is the host of Ideas Have Consequences as well. So make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Larry, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend. Be safe.
Always good to see you, Brianna. You do a great job. Take care.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate your time as always. Folks, we've got our eyes on a lot. Viva Fries will be joining us in a little bit to react to the latest regarding Jeffrey Epstein. And there's a lot to still dive into there because so much continues to come out from the documents we've received so far, which I think is great. And I also want to hear from Viva Fry about Thomas Massie. He's made a lot of comments lately. And I appreciate what Massie has done. I know it's been very controversial. A lot of MAGA folks aren't very happy with him. But we're going to talk about this because we don't really have too many people who I think are out there trying to force the administration to release everything. And it's unfortunate. Again, I mean, he ran on this campaign promise. All we're trying to do is search for accountability for those girls who were brutally, brutally attacked. Folks, we're also in the third hour of the show going to be taking your calls, 877-789-2539. That's the number to call, 877-789-2539. If you'd like to join the show, maybe sound off on a topic we've discussed thus far, that is the number to call into. We'll probably be doing that maybe in like an hour we'll start taking calls. But if you want to jump on hold and make sure you get your call in, now's usually a good time, but I can't make any commitments. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. So make sure you do just that. If you haven't done so already, also, folks, make sure you give me a follow on X. That's at Brianna Morello. Make sure you follow InfoWars as well, of course. I'm constantly dropping exclusive stories that you're not going to see anywhere else. And so that's the reason why it's so important for you to make sure you're following me. Because throughout the day, as stories develop, that's where I go to drop everything. Also, I know you can see my tongue's blue. Sorry, that's the methylene blue that I'm I'm drinking these days. But in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's 52% off site-wide, including methylene blue as well. I highly recommend you grab some of that. And you also grab the energy shots. Two, why? Well, because that's how I start my day every day. No caffeine. I try to stay away from the caffeine. Every now and then I'll slip into a Red Bull, but I don't want any of those jitters. And that's the reason why I do the energy shot every single day. It's a clean energy boost that lasts throughout the day. I'm telling you, this stuff is absolutely amazing. Mind Fuel energy shots. You've got to snag it over at the shop right now. And also keep in mind, when you subscribe, you are getting an incredible discount that you're not going to get anywhere else. And again, these products are top tier. So you got to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. 52% off site-wide. The prices are absolutely incredible. Again, we haven't had these prices this low since Christmas, so make sure you stock up right now. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We also just launched the Optimal Human electrolyte drink mix as well. That's another one you're going to want to snag over at the shop.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts and have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. That's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and one click, become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, everything. It's a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss, or bovine colostrum. That's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Backup Network and the site. There's all sorts of behind the scenes attacking them. They're big boys too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But I mean, these are Patriots. Just go to the site, upper right hand corner, VIP club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR, PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You'll say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country, $30 a month, you get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you spend X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP, VIP, VIP. And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. And it's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the info war. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today as we dig into the very latest coming out about the Epstein files. And it's been a very interesting weekend, obviously. We discussed it earlier in the program, but Pam Bondi's office decided to, of course, on a holiday, Valentine's Day, to drop over to Congress a list of names regarding the Epstein files. Now, of course, because you want to create chaos and confusion, you insert names that have absolutely nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein, people who haven't even met Jeffrey Epstein, because, well, the people are asking for a list. And that's exactly what was done. And so a lot of people over the weekend were scratching their heads, wondering what the heck is all of this about. People who never even met Epstein were included in that list. Surprise, surprise. Just kidding. There was no surprise there. But when it comes to all of this, they're promising us that they've released all of the documents, the nearly 2 million documents. They're claiming that they've dumped out there for the world to indulge in. But Congressman Thomas Massie's calling out the DOJ, saying, no, you're not being honest with the American people in clip 13. Take a listen.
Light sentence. And finally, I know the DOJ wants to say they're done with this document production. The problem is they've taken down documents before we were able to go over to the DOJ and look at the unredacted versions. They took down some of the most significant documents, two of them involving Virginia Giuffre's case and other things. The picture of Epstein at in a room where it's got CIA written on the boxes, that's been taken down. We want to be able to look at all these files. They can't keep those documents down after they've already produced them.
Yeah, well, that's one of the many, many issues Americans have with the DOJ and how they've handled the Epstein files thus far. Joining me to discuss is a former litigator and podcast host, Viva Fries, on board with us this morning. And it is an honor, of course, to have him back on the show. All right, Viva, I want your take on all of this because I see you and I kind of think alike. We're very critical, but we're fair, I'd say, when it comes to what the DOJ has done so far in all of this. Obviously, Thomas Massie has been a very outspoken member of Congress and has been pushing them to do what was laid out as the campaign commitment. So do you think Massey's onto something when he's saying, hold on a second, you're not being honest here. 3.2 million documents isn't all of the documents being dumped, and you're also pulling things off the internet. Do you think he has a case here?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the thing is, you'll never know what exists that they have removed. I mean, so you can always say they haven't released everything because I think there's something out there that has not yet been released. Mm-hmm. Look, the bottom line is, at the very least, now we know that those who pushed for the release of these documents from the beginning have been vindicated in a sense. You know, it was never about vindication. It was about intellectual consistency in terms of not giving up on the demand to release these documents, the so-called list. And it was maybe not a campaign promise, but it certainly was a campaign issue that seemed to have flipped once Trump got into office. We can ask questions as to how and why. And what I love is, you know, Bongino on his show last week was actually talking about it and said, look, Trump signed the bill, the Disclosure Act, into law. So it doesn't matter how we got there. He did the right thing in the end. But it kind of does matter how we got there, because what we got was a lot of pushback from people within the Trump administration who I would argue were trying to sabotage Trump by screwing this entire thing up or convincing Trump that he can't release it because it would incriminate himself, when it actually wouldn't, but it might incriminate members of the deep state or members of his entourage. We got here not in little part, maybe even, you know, because of Massie and Ro Khanna's efforts, and Trump heard his base and changed tack from having changed tack from being told to, you know, release it, don't release it, it's going to incriminate you, your name's in there thousands of times. So it matters how we got here. We got a lot of stuff, better late than never. Whether or not it violated the limit, the timeline in the law, you know, that'll be a separate issue. And whether or not we got all of it, we'll never know. I think we will never have gotten all of it, because whatever was really, really damning in there, and it's certainly, you know, not damning for Trump, but damning for others, has long since disappeared from that file. So we'll never even know if we got the entire thing, but we got enough now to know and get an idea as to what was going on with Epstein, with his tentacles across the world, with CEOs of the largest ports of the world, with everybody. We've gotten a better view into it. It'll never be complete. It'll never be full. But my goodness, it's better now than it was 8 months ago when we were being told to shut up. There's nothing in the Epstein files.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the key point here. I mean, we've still got so much more to sift through, so I'm sure we're going to figure it all out soon. But, you know, you mentioned the president in all of this. And, you know, I think the president hasn't been very fair with Thomas Massie, making a lot of personal attacks. But Massie also waited on that yesterday in clip 14. Take a listen.
Responsibility.
And just very quickly, if you will, you've supported most of what Donald Trump has done during his presidency. But because of your actions with these files, he is supporting your primary opponent and has waged very personal attacks on you. I know we just have a few seconds here, but just your reaction to that.
Look, this is about the Epstein class. The people who are funding the attacks against me, they may or may not be implicated in these files, but they were certainly rubbing shoulders with the people who are in these files. They're billionaires who are friends with these people, and that's what I'm up against in Washington, D.C. Donald Trump told us that even though, you know, he had dinner with these kinds of people in New York City and West Palm Beach, that he would be transparent. But he's not. He's still in with the Epstein class. This is the Epstein administration, and they're attacking me for trying to get these files released.
And again, I'm going to say President Trump has not been accused of anything criminal here. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Congressman. We appreciate it.
Okay, so we're listening to, obviously, Thomas Massie make these accusations. And I get that his, you know, the president has made a personal dig at his second wife now. Obviously, he's been remarried. And I don't think that's appropriate to go to that level. But, you know, Congressman Thomas Massie going out there and saying that this is the Epstein administration, do you think that it's a little over the top?
It's hyperbolic. I do think Trump has been, say, harsh. Mm-hmm. Unfair is a tough word in politics. He's been harsh on Massie. I think he's been unduly harsh on Marjorie Taylor Greene as well. But this is what happens when you get into political spats. And some would say it's the nature of the game. You know, stay off Twitter if you don't want to hear nasty words. And outside of the courtroom, lawyers, you know, behave much differently vis-a-vis each other than they do in the courtroom. There are certain statements that are not, you know, off limits, beyond limits, whatever. It's gotten very vitriolic between Massie and Trump. What you can reasonably surmise is that Trump might have been told to try to change tact on the release of the Epstein files because it does implicate people in his inner orbit. If no other more concrete example than Howard Lutnick. And again, whether or not you think it's the end of the world disqualifying he deserves to be kicked out of the administration, that's a separate issue. What's clear is that his name was in there in a material sense and above and beyond what he otherwise disclosed. And when you have Trump saying it's a hoax and everybody should move on and you have Howard Lutnick laughing in the background, he knows damn well what comes out of that could embarrass people in the close orbit of Trump. I don't think it's an Epstein administration, but these are buzzwords and catchwords that you use on the internet for traction. But it's quite clear members of Trump's inner circle, or at least administration, Howard Lutnick is the most immediate example, were involved with Epstein in ways that they had hitherto hid and been dishonest about. So you could understand that rationale. You can understand Pam Bondi saying it's going to implicate a lot of people, not necessarily in your circle, but in the so-called deep state, so-called, you know, the globalist entities, and we need to find a way to protect them. So I'm going to convince Trump that releasing the files would embarrass him, when in reality it did nothing but exonerate Trump himself, albeit embarrass people in his close orbit.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, I mean, Viva, you're spot on with that. And I can't get over this one email that we're seeing. We'll pull this up. It's a document that reveals that there were children actually being abused. And I keep hearing Pam Bondi come out there and say, and Todd Blanche come out there and say, the deputy AG as well, that, you know, this is an ongoing investigation. If we have any proof of a crime, you know, we'll look into it. I mean, the details, and I spared our audience of me being able to read it because I'll start crying, but the details are just disgusting. It's over a photo that apparently they have in their possession, which shows a young girl who's clearly not of age being brutally raped. I mean, there's blood everywhere, and it's just, it's an awful, awful detailed report. We see things like this, and it's really hard for me not to lose my mind on the issue, because that's rage bait to me. I mean, I'm reading this and I'm going, well, how between over 3 million documents that they apparently have, they've now released, how is there not enough here to show that there was crimes being committed? And how do we not know the identities of these men? I mean, I get it, it's a still image. Their faces are probably cut off, but there's got to be clear body markers where they could be able to tell who's who. Your thoughts on all of this, because I just don't know how to put this into words as to how enraged I am that they keep putting this information out there and then tell us that there's no one who's being indicted as of yet. No one new, I should say.
It's. I mean, I would say there's no other better term than gaslighting, and it's gaslighting of the highest. Because remember, they said when you relive the timeline, you think you're taking crazy pills. We were told Epstein, Epstein, Epstein. You had, I'm not even saying this to blame them. I'm saying it's because I think they were, you know, right. Patel and Bongino for years say, don't let up on the Epstein files. There's more here. We all know it. We have people on the inside. Then Trump gets into office, and then somehow it becomes a nothing. There's no documents. There's nothing to release after having bungled the phase one rollout. Then after Massey pushes, fights tooth and nail to get it done, Trump signs in the law and we get there. Then we get the release of documents we told weren't there. And now we're being systematically told there were no other co-conspirators. This was only for Epstein himself and his own prurient interests. And there were no other co-conspirators. Then you got Les Wexner. Mm-hmm. Literally identified as a co-conspirator, but then people are going to say, oh, he was only a co-conspirator in trafficking to Epstein himself for his own prurient interests. And I have these discussions with people on the internet, and it's like, again, crazy pills. You're starting from the beginning in every argument that you have. People say, name me one person, one shred of evidence of someone who was involved in trafficking that was either not investigated or not charged. And I had this discussion yesterday. I was like, all right, here's one. Jean-Luc Brunel, who was charged in France before he was found hanged in his cell in France, who was allegedly involved in trafficking with Jeffrey Epstein. So good enough for charges in France, but he never faced any charges in America. And then people say, well, he's dead now. You can't charge him. Now you at least have recognition that there was an individual involved beyond just trafficking women to Epstein who managed to face charges in France at the time, managed to die in jail again. And you have other people now who are getting charged in foreign countries. So the argument that nobody else was involved in the actual sexual abuse or trafficking doesn't hold any water, and it's gaslighting to affirm otherwise. Yeah. The main issue is you get into a situation where you don't know what documents you can believe. You don't know what documents are anonymous tips by mentally ill people to the FBI that people then use to go after Trump and say, oh, my goodness, someone said Trump killed women and buried them in Mar-a-Lago. So how can you rely on this? We're sort of like in a post-information era where you don't know what is real and what is not, but the bottom line is you can stay away from the most hyperbolic, delusional fantasies of mentally ill people calling in tips to the FBI when Trump was running again in 2020. And the obvious, which is Jean-Luc Brunel, just look him up, managed to face charges in France, and yet we're being told nobody else was involved in any global sex trafficking ring, but Jean-Luc Brunel is one example who managed to never get charged in America.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's one of the many, and it's really infuriating. I also want to get your take on this. This is obviously very controversial. Steve Bannon's name has been wrapped up into a lot of the text messages that have been released as well. And they're very concerning. But again, it's an accusation. There's nothing out there that shows that he was doing any type of sexual abuse. So I want to be very, very clear in all of this. But a lot of people are being very critical of Bannon right now because it's clear that after Epstein was convicted of being a pedo, there are text messages going back and forth between the two. He's even in this text message chain referring to Jeffrey Epstein as a god. Even Epstein apparently claiming to say that I don't think of myself as that, but, and then Steve Bannon responding according to this document, I do. Now, again, these are all accusations. Bannon hasn't come out to speak out against any of this, but people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, General Michael Flynn, I mean, these are people who are, you know, wrapped up into the Bannon orbit of things. They're coming out and saying, we need explanation. We need to talk about this. What do you think so far of the lack of silence in regards to Bannon's messages, very personal messages with Jeffrey Epstein? And do you think it's just possibly, I mean, he's obviously hosting a show. He's trying to run companies. Do you think this was all about finances, or do you think there's anything else here?
So I had my thoughts on this last week. You know, one way or the other, it's an elephant in the room that's not leaving until it's addressed. So yeah. Bannon's going to have to address it at one point. The temptation is to ignore it and hope it goes away. And again, I'm not making any accusations of sexual improprieties. You don't have to. Fraternizing with a known, sex offender of minors after it's known, because this is 2019, that's something which, even if there is an absence of any actual culpability by Bannon himself, is something which many people are going to have a problem forgiving. And then, you know, you can make the argument, maybe there was I saw Liz Crokin put out a theory that maybe he was a white hat, or, you know, it was an operation to try to infiltrate whatever work with Epstein. The bottom line is it could have been done out of financial necessity. It could have been done out of political expedience. It could have been done for any number of reasons why he was fraternizing and trying to rehabilitate, or purportedly trying to, you know, work on the rehabilitation of a convicted sex offender. Some people would say, you know, every client needs a lawyer. True, but, you know, rehabilitating the image of a convicted sex offender for public consumption is not something that people are going to put up with for very long, especially when it's Epstein himself. What I have trouble with as well is people are saying Bannon was colluding to impeach Trump. He was colluding to overthrow the Pope. And I read these very same messages, and like, I don't read it that way. You know, whether or not they're schmoozing and Epstein's trying, Bannon is trying to gain goodwill with Epstein because maybe he thinks Epstein will support financially whatever Bannon was doing, or there's some political capital there, or he's trying to get intel to bring it back to Trump. I don't know. But sex crimes aside, fraternizing with a known minor pedo sex offender after it's well known and after he's basically the pariah that he became in 2016, you got some explaining to do, and silence will not answer the question. It's just going to allow everybody else on the internet to now read one document in two different ways and come up with even more crazy potential conspiracy theories. But yeah, Bannon has some serious questions to answer, and people want to use this to, you know, write him off as a human, and they're going to successfully manage to do that. But Bannon has, from a politics perspective, very good, very useful populist ideas and ideals, and has been very influential on the political front. And this is going to serve as the basis, as the ability for everybody to write him off, demonize him, and harm the populist movement itself. But got to reiterate, fraternizing with known sex offenders, registered sex offenders, to rehabilitate their image. Maybe everybody needs one of those PR guys, but you don't have to be that PR guy, and you should expect righteous indignation and judgment for becoming that PR guy willingly.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I still want to hear what he has to say about all of this, but, you know, I can't allow that to go by and to slide by and pretend like it's acceptable. It just really isn't. And I would never find myself in that situation, because I would never put myself in that situation. I mean, they all knew what kind of monster he was. And so it's very discouraging to see, but we do need to hear from Bannon directly. And I hope he does just that. I want to shift gears a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about, obviously, Alex Jones. I know you did a show and you were detailing specifically what the latest claims and the filing is in Alex's lawsuit. And as many of our audience members are well familiar with, obviously the Sandy Hook settlement, it's not even a settlement, the ruling against Alex has completely bankrupted Alex, and he's been talking about this openly. But Alex has had a lot of his constitutional rights violated throughout this entire process, and that's been his focus. Not even to argue the merits exactly of the actual whole trial, the show trial itself, but to really go out there and say, hey, listen, I had my rights violated. So in an update, he's now countersuing over all of this. And it's things like, you know, obviously this was an excessive amount of money to say that he needed to cough up and pay these families. And so that violates, number one, the Eighth Amendment, but he's also claiming his Fifth Amendment rights were violated as well as First, and on it goes. He was also upset because his Hillary Clinton deposition was turned away, was not allowed. He wanted to, you know, have her speak. So there's a lot of different elements to all of this. I just kind of wanted to get your reaction, because none of this has ever been done to a person before. But we did notice that right after they got away with specifically, once they got away with what they did to Alex, we saw that there were other defamation lawsuits and quickly being filed afterwards from other conservative influencers. And so from my perspective, regardless of how you feel about Alex Jones personally, it's always been about, well, what's going to happen next? Because he's usually the first guy attacked, and then it happens to other conservative influencers. And there weren't that many people, I think there should have been significantly more, speaking out on Alex's behalf and defending him, because this was going to be a long-term issue. But what do you make of the latest filings? I know you've gone through it, and the lack of voices speaking up on his behalf.
I don't know that Alex, I've been told that David Icke was actually before Alex Jones, and there might have been other prior examples of lawfare that became popularized with Alex Jones. Alex Jones definitely was the or a canary in the coal mine in terms of what the courts could get away with by stripping you of your ability to defend yourself, because that's all that they did in Connecticut and Texas. They stripped him of his ability to defend himself. Then they defaulted him into a liability verdict, bypassing jury findings, bypassing judge findings, and basically allowing the plaintiff to set the terms of its own victory on the basis of purported discovery violations, like not disclosing documents, which A, is bullcrap, even in this context, but B, I was a practicing lawyer for 13 years, and Mike Cernovich put on a tweet, said, find another case analogous to someone being defaulted into liability after having complied with discovery obligations. And I was like, forget that. I've never seen someone defaulted into liability even when they get caught destroying evidence, which Alex didn't do. So this entire case was a violation of constitutional rights. Everybody knows that. And then they went on to use the template, oddly enough, against Bannon, stripping him of his ability to make positive defenses, Navarro, Giuliani, Donald Trump. They went on to use this template, mutatis mutandis. And everybody who thought, well, it'll stop with Alex Jones, and I don't like Alex Jones because he said some stupid things about Sandy Hook 10 years ago, 16 minutes over the course of a decade. Well, I'm not going to say anything to him or about him because he's a bad man, and I've been told he's a bad man. Well, now you're waking up with what that is. This filing, however, not to get blackpilled for your audience, I don't see it going anywhere. I had to get clear, make sure, you know, touch up some of my questions with Robert Barnes last night during our show. In the context of the bankruptcy proceedings and the liquidation, he's basically filed what is, you know, civil rights violations by way of a claim to say, don't discharge certain aspects of the bankruptcy because they were obtained fraudulently. The problem is this, and this is the question I ask. Why hasn't the civil rights division of Trump's DOJ gotten involved? Like, this is a man, Alex Jones, who arguably, but not arguably, through his populist influence, got Trump elected in 2016. That is arguably, but not arguably, exactly what spawned this intelligence-based lawfare against Alex Jones, which we now know. If you were, you know, FBI initiating the claims to take down Alex Jones because he managed to get Trump elected over Hillary. Why hasn't Trump's civil rights division got involved in this? This was a civil rights violation from the get-go. And the problem is now, Jones is filing this first, fifth, eighth amendment violation claim to say why you should not grant this portion of the liquidation to the plaintiffs because, you know, this judgment was bullcrap. The problem is it was ratified at every stage of the legal proceedings by the lower courts, appellate courts, Supreme Court refused to hear it. So I don't see a bankruptcy court bypassing what has effectively been ratified by the Supreme Court through the refusal to hear the case and bypassing or usurping what ought to be done through the civil rights division of Trump's DOJ to annul the legal process. So I think this is a case that is intended to be waged in the court of public opinion, not in the bankruptcy court, because I don't think it goes anywhere in the bankruptcy court, but I'll be more than happy to be wrong on that. But this entire case has been an injustice from the get-go, and anybody who sat there quietly or even egged it on, enjoy the hell that you shall inherit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the problem in all of this. And it doesn't end at just Alex Jones. It will continue to go on and others will be forced in the same position. And, you know, Viva, before we go to, it was a little upsetting because the weaponization group over at the DOJ was actually trying to poke and look into all of this and see what the federal government's role was in this civil lawsuit. And, you know, according to our sources, the attorney general, the deputy attorney general, Todd Blanche, was the one to shut it down and stop Ed Martin from looking into all of this. And nothing's come of it, sadly, ever since then. And the reaction too, I mean, we haven't heard the civil rights division. I mean, that's run by Harmy Dillon, and I really was excited when she stepped into this position, but I haven't seen any movement on that front either. So it's quite, you know, concerning, but just your overall review of that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just no movement. It's actual suppression. And the disconcerting thing is we are now over a year into Trump's presidency. Mm-hmm. Tina Peters is still rotting away in a Colorado jail 9 years for whistleblowing on the election. Dexter Taylor rotting away in a New York State prison on Second Amendment violations. We know that this was shut down to some extent to get involved in the Alex Jones. And now you have Harmeet, you know, tooting the horn of Pam Bondi's catastrophic hearing last week. And you do wonder what the hell is going on. Harmeet had done some good work, looked promising at the beginning. And now, it just looks like it's been taken over by interests that are not populist, not MAGA, not Trump. And Alex Jones, it's not that he's been loyal. It's that, A, he's been abused by a system, specifically because of the results that he got for Donald Trump, to throw him under the bus, Alex Jones, that is, and to ignore this patent civil rights violation. It will translate poorly in terms of support. So, it's never over until it's over, but we're getting very late, especially when it comes to the fact that, you know, early voting has already started for the midterms. We're going to see the impact of this, but you know, I can't think of any good excuse for which we have seen not only no movement, but almost backward movement when it comes to certain egregious civil rights violations. Tina Peters, Dexter Taylor, and Alex Jones are the top three.
Yeah, Viva, I mean, you're not alone on that one. It's been frustrating to sit back and watch. And of course, Dexter, we try to get him on the show, but unfortunately, the prison doesn't allow him to make these outbound phone calls. And that's been our biggest struggles right now. But Viva, I want to thank you for jumping on with us today. Of course, folks, give him a follow on X at the Viva Fry. That's FREI, in case you're wondering. Make sure you do just that. Viva, thank you. We'll be right back with more.
I see through a rose-colored darkly. That means I'm trying to tell you the truth, but I'm not always right just about 98% of the time. And bad guys of every stripe don't want this show on the air. But you're the good guys. You have to decide, hey, this guy's a fighter. This guy stood up for this. This guy has an incredible track record. We want to support him. And then I'm going to sell you something that really works so you love it and you get it again and again. And Bigly, our great sponsor, those thealexjonesstore.com. No matter what happens, InfoWars, we continue on the Alex Jones network that's been built. So key said, Alex, you keep getting it wrong. We don't have 84% reorder on Ultramath Wayne Blue. We don't have 76% reorder on the supplements and average. You're reading that wrong. That's on total customers. We have a 97% reorder from anybody that orders at thealexjonesstore.com. Well, that's a testament to you guys out there supporting us and how great the products are. Nobody, I mean, a site that has a 20% reorder is seen as successful. That is you being steadfast supporters, and I want to thank you. So we're running the biggest sale of the year right now, over 50% off on ultramethylene blue, on the bovine colostrum, on the new methylene red that's proprietary to us, on the Shilajit complex, the Irish sea moss, atomic defense, and more. But it's only running until next Monday. Got 6 days to take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Takes money to fight a war. We're fighting a war. Plus, the products are great. So please, get yours now. Over 50% off, but it's an alert. Only a few days left. Thank you so much.
Taking your calls in this portion of the show, 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to want to call. Again, that's 877-789-2539. We'll get to those callers in the third hour, of course, but I've got a lot to run through. We have an exclusive story we'll be breaking down for you in just a little bit. Plus, we're celebrating my 4-year anniversary of leaving Fox Corp over the COVID jabs. I'll bring you some of the details. I know a lot of people on X are asking questions. They're looking for a little bit more information, so I'll do just that in a moment. In the meantime, I want to play clip 11 for you because Amy Mech has just uncovered a video, and that video has to do with a Buffalo Wild Wings in the DFW area, and apparently, well, they are very Muslim-friendly these days. Take a listen to clip 11.
Attention, Dallas. This is not a drill. For the first time in Texas, we've got a Buffalo Wild Wings offering Zabiha Halal options. Right now, the Buffalo Wild Wings in Richardson is serving Zabiha Halal hand-cut wings, prepared separately, fried separately, and free from cross-contamination. And yes, you can choose from any of their sauces. This is a huge moment. If you've been waiting to enjoy wings that are Zabiha hand-slaughtered and HMS certified, this is it.
It is just more proof that the DFW area is currently being conquered by these imports that we brought into our country, and we didn't bring them in, but the Biden regime made sure of just that. And over the last 4 years, very rapidly escalated the issues in the DFW area. Just like, again, keep this in the back of your minds. In DFW, there have been about 43 mosques that have gone up in the last 2 years. So this is a big, big issue. And now our restaurants are taking a knee, and they are going to begin serving halal-friendly food. It's not just the restaurants, too, folks. It's also the public schools. The public schools are also doing the same exact thing, and it's really, really frustrating because, again, everyone's bending a knee. And over the weekend, too, it's worth noting that I saw the governor, Greg Abbott, actually doing a little victory lap in regards to Epic because he's claiming that he was the reason why Epic is, again, it's they're still going to have their land, but he's just kicking the can down the road. He had nothing to do with the development of the East Plano Islamic Center, the actual like shutdown of the development. He allowed the 400 acres to be purchased and, again, had nothing to do with any of it in regards to preventing this stuff from happening. Again, over 43 mosques popped up, I believe it is. Maybe it's a little much. I know it's definitely 24. I have to go look back at the stat. But it's insane that this is still happening right now. It's insane that no one's speaking on behalf of the American people, Texans. We do see, though, movement from people like Chip Roy, of course, and others, Keith Self, who we've had on the show previously. But again, I mean, it's not enough. They keep saying Sharia law. We want to ban Sharia law. Well, Sharia means law. So when you use that word together, with those two words together, Sharia law, it just highlights the level of ignorance behind the issue. Most importantly, it's everyone getting on board now because they know that this is polling well amongst Americans and that we want politicians to fight back. And it's just so frustrating. But yes, now Texas Republicans are jumping into this fight. Ken Paxton has been on it from day one, though, and has been doing his best. I know from sources, though, that Greg Abbott's office has been doing their very best to stop the AG's office from doing what it does best, and that's to push the limits on all of this and to make sure that these groups know that we will not allow you to build on land without calling it into question. Ken Paxton also, it's worth noting, has just filed another lawsuit in regards to Epic, this one having to do with a utility district and a board specifically, though, but he just launched that lawsuit earlier today. He's one of many who are now suing Epic and trying to stop it. And it's also worth noting, too, that Epic is also being blocked in regards to several investigations. The DOJ Civil Rights Division, by the way, Harmeet Dhillon dropped that investigation very quickly before my source is saying documents could even be turned over to the DOJ. That was the investigation regarding Fair House Act. And Harmeet Dhillon's office was looking into it as a Civil Rights Division over the DOJ. But again, I reached out and I even asked her directly if you had ever received the documents that were originally requested in this investigation based on how abruptly it was shut down. And I did not hear back from the DOJ or Dhillon either because I wanted their perspective on this. But yes, the Housing and Urban Development team has now launched an investigation, but it's the same type of investigation that was shut down previously by the DOJ. So spare me. All right, folks, we got a lot more to discuss in just a bit. Again, third hour of the show, we're getting to your calls. I've also got an exclusive story, exclusive update to break down to you guys all in just a little bit. So buckle up, we got more to discuss.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, third hour of the program that we're kicking off right now. And I'm doing a little bit of a celebration today. It is my four-year anniversary of leaving Fox Corp. As many of you guys know, I was a producer over at Fox for a bit. I started out in 2018, 2019-ish, left. Worked for a couple of other outlets, then went back to Fox and was producing for Maria Bartiromo's weekend show. And I was also doing another Fox business show. And I was told that I had to relocate because I was working remotely from Florida during the height of the pandemic. And they made me come back and to work in the office. Now, I was told, and this is a little backstory for those of you who are unfamiliar with my story. We'll go in depth right now. I was told that I had to either comply and get the COVID jab or apply for an exemption. Now let's back up a bit. I was forced to move back to New York City by the company. I was told when I do, don't worry, we're going to get you on with Tucker. You're going to be a producer with Tucker. And I was very excited, very excited. So I packed up my West Palm Beach apartment and shipped it all the way up north. The day that I took off to start unpacking, and actually let's just jump to this part first. Fox wanted to know what my vaccination status was. They sent me at least five different emails. The final email coming from Suzanne Scott saying that it's mandatory to submit your vaccination status. I was told by HR that you had to do it because they actually wanted to set the unvaccinated and the vaccinated in separate parts of the New York City office. Now, again, I'm only attesting to what I witnessed inside of the New York City office. This was my experience inside the New York City office. And so, yeah, they told me in writing that I was going to be seated separately because I was a threat. They didn't call me a threat, but they did say that they were going to seat me separately than the vaccinated group of my colleagues. And I laughed and thought, what a joke. And then made the mistake of packing out my apartment still, not resigning then and there. And the day that I got there was my movers. We are unpacking my van. And you know what happens? I get an email that was forwarded to me. The email was sent out previously to other Fox employees, but magically never made its way to me because, well, they, I guess, wanted to quarter me in my opinion, and make sure that I wasn't going to leave. And as a result of all of that, well, oh, it was a fight with HR. I did get on one phone call, and then once I realized that it was going to possibly be a legal issue, I would refuse to get on any phone calls with human resources and would only communicate in writing. So all of this happened in writing. And to walk you through it a little bit, the one phone call that I did get on with an executive from Fox Business, I was told, yeah, I'm sorry, like, I'm unvaccinated. I'm going to have to figure this out. But you've either got to get the jab or you've got to file for an exemption. Now, that exemption would require you to hand over your religious information or your medical history to your employer, which is something that's never been done before in our country's history. In fact, that would actually be considered discrimination or grounds for suing because your employer can't ask you for those things. So I just truly believed that I wasn't going to surrender my rights and I wasn't going to comply in any level with any of this, and got into a bit of a back and forth with human resources. In my resignation email, I told HR that if they didn't agree with, you know, the vaccine push and, you know, they wanted to keep going out there and validating what was going on, then that's one thing. But the reality of it is what we were presenting on air was that we believed in medical freedom. Well, I didn't have medical freedom. And in my opinion, that's what Fox took away from me. They waited till the very last second. They waited till the day that I took off because I was going to officially be moving into my new place to tell this to me. They even offered me a bonus in writing. They were going to pay me $500 to get vaccinated. Folks, many employees did do just that. And I got to tell you, $500 is not worth it. It's not worth it. Now, again, I didn't know about everything long term. This was the very beginning of the vaccination push. I just knew that if you're pushing me this hard and you're trying to take away my rights as an employee of your company, well, then I've got to say no. And so it was kind of like an ugly cry on the phone when I was talking to this Fox executive over at Fox Business. And they're like, yeah, Brianna, you've got to figure it out, but you've got to comply. And so after pushing back, I was told I was being put on unpaid leave. And I said, wait, I was working remotely just fine. There's no reason to put me on unpaid leave. Had to fight that. My EP stepped in. That's the executive producer of the show that I was working on. She defended me a bit. And they did reinstate my pay. But what happened there is they decided that they were going to stack me up with another show. It was a daily news show. And it's unheard of. You don't stack multiple shows on one producer. And so they gave me the... what was it? It was Kennedy's show, her show on Fox Business, on top of my workload, and told me, oh, well, we just want you to get some more experience. But I knew what was happening. They were looking to push me out. The emails were getting very aggressive, and I knew what was happening. And so as a result of all of this, I did resign. Fox did give me $5,000 to move from Florida to New York. Now, as many of you guys know, $5,000 is literally nothing in regards to that. I had to break a lease to get up there. And then I had to break another lease to get back down because I realized this isn't going to work out for me. I don't want to do this. So it cost me, with all the moving expenses tossed together, about 20 grand. I went into debt right after all of this. But I just knew in my heart that something was very wrong with all of this. And again, we didn't really have the data out there. We had our speculations. You know, at the time, they were calling it conspiracy theories. But I just knew that based on how Fox was pushing aggressively hard, I also knew what was happening behind the scenes at Fox. I knew we had an interview that I had scheduled with Peter Navarro, one of our shows. It was a pre-taped interview, and Peter decided to say things that maybe get young people to second guess taking the jabs, which was fair, just saying, you know, we don't know the long-term effects of all of this. So if you're young and healthy and you've had the virus before, don't get the jabs. Well, that part was clipped, and I never understood why everything was taking place, why they were sitting here and editing the content that was on air. And I had my opinion until, The Blaze released a FOIA request that they had pushed out there. And in that FOIA request, it detailed how Fox, with many other outlets, took a lot of money, but they won't tell you the actual dollar amount, from HHS to push the jabs. So that's the reason why I wasn't allowed to have anyone on these shows. This is the article here that was critical of the vaccines. They wanted us all to comply. Again, Fox threatened to come after me for that $5,000 relocation fee. They got very aggressive until I threatened to lawyer up myself. And then that's when they stopped going after me for the $5,000. Now, Why am I telling you all of this? I'm telling you all of this because here we are 4 years later. And of course, I've been vindicated. I was right about everything. These vaccines have sterilized a lot of different women. When women were coming forward and just simply trying to post online that they were having irregular periods, they were pushed by big tech to either to be silenced, take down their posts, or they were completely suspended and banned. So many others on YouTube as well. But we now know what those jabs did. And we all knew at the time that there was something very, very wrong here, and they were intentionally suppressing the information from coming out. Why am I telling you this? Well, the propaganda was real. I was one to witness it firsthand. Fox Corp still to this day will not even address any of these issues. If they disputed my claims, it'd be very easy to go back and forth on because the communications happened via email. Now, those emails are property of Fox, whether they choose to release it or not. I've always said, do it. If you think I'm lying or misleading the American people, you can, in fact, release it. Now, the story has pulled millions of views since I've started talking about all of this, of course, back in 2022, and they never disputed a single claim that I've made. Now, again, these are my opinions because this is from my perspective, but Fox did, in fact, offer a bonus to its employees who did get the jabs. They did, in fact, censor content on air, and they did, in fact, push me out for my refusal to comply with an illegal New York City private sector vaccine mandate. Now, why do I say it's illegal? That's because the Supreme Court shot it down when the Biden regime tried enforcing it. So, of course, they knew that it was not something that was supposed to be enforced because the Supreme Court just said the President of the United States, the alleged President of the United States, doesn't have the authority to implement a private sector vaccine mandate. So why the hell would the New York City mayor have that authority? Now, of course, Fox pretends like they actually pretend like they weren't doing all of that and that they're a real pusher for medical freedom. That's all laughable. Also worth noting that they continue to come after me, but they do so in very discreet ways, in my opinion. They do so by, well, I used to have a podcast that was featured on First TV. When First TV, when the company that owns First TV was purchased, 2 weeks later, my show got canceled. And then they said, oh, don't worry, you know, you're moving to Dallas. Like, just take your time, unpack, like, relax. We'll bring you back in once you're ready to go. And I've reached out several times because I've been ready to go. And they never brought back my show. But I was told when I asked if Fox was going to can me the day that the sale was announced, and I was told no. It's also been an ongoing issue where I asked for copyright to use some of their work to promote their work, and they still won't let me do it. That happening with Ken Silva. So, folks, it's been an ongoing issue with Fox, but nothing's been better than leaving Fox Corp. No decision I've ever made has been better than that. Why? Well, because, number one, I mean, we've all been in situations where we've been bullied, did we think, or maybe overly persuaded into taking the wrong side of things. And then we live with deep regret. I have zero regret. In fact, I had no job being offered to me at the time, and I just knew that I'd figure it out because I've always figured it out. So many of us sat back and we watched as what was being pushed onto the American people was wrong. But sadly, so many people complied with the jabs. Now they have to live with the fact that they have that regret of complying with something that they knew was wrong. I've been vindicated. I, for one, am very proud of the fact that I didn't comply. Even when I was offered on the phone by that same exec that I told you about that I'd be on air, please just file for a medical exemption, file for a religious exemption. I just, no. I don't have to ask you for permission on whether or not my religious background or my medical background allows me to not participate in a medical experiment. That was not my take at all. And I never wanted anything to do with that. So fast forward, although Fox pretends to be on the right side of things, just know that that was never the case behind the scenes. And there were others who left. They left quietly, though, because they didn't want to cause a storm. But you know me. I like to go out with a bang. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about a story that we covered here on this show. As many of you guys know, Sonny Lobosco is a frequent guest on my program because, well, she represents a bunch of incredible people, specifically whistleblowers. And then over at the Air Marshal National Council, she's the executive director there. She represents thousands of members, and she does an incredible job. Well, Sonia reached out to me, and we had her on the show the very next day. It was in regards to TSA, an administrator over at TSA, refusing to file paperwork regarding their raises. Now, the Trump administration made sure that all federal law enforcement agencies were going to receive a 3.8% raise. Now, that's obviously significant for folks, especially nowadays, and they really need those raises. But it was quite strange because Sonia said that the federal air marshals were the only group of people who were left out of that raise. And it's because a member over at TSA decided not to file the paperwork in time. And so they weren't going to be getting that raise. Now, they had made several attempts over at Air Marshal National Council to try to get this fixed behind closed doors. But when it wasn't happening, when they weren't receiving a response, Sonia put it on my radar when I reached out. And then quickly, and we're thankful for this, TSA did tell me, no, they're actually going to get those raises. And so this is an exclusive that we brought to you guys here. And the reason why, again, I know a lot of us don't like these federal agencies and our government has grown to extreme levels at this point. But these federal air marshals, and the reason why I will ride and die with these folks, is these folks were the whistleblowers behind a lot of my reporting back onto the Biden regime years. When Americans were being spied on, they were the ones turning to me to tell me what was going on and to help get really critical pieces of information out. Specifically, Tulsi Gabbard. As many of you guys know, Tulsi Gabbard was added to a TSA terror watch list. Now, we truly believe, and again, we have to see more information, but based on the timeline, it was because Tulsi was criticizing Kamala Harris. Now, when Fox News got that story, because they did get it, they decided to punt and not run the story till weeks later after I broke it. So I exclusively broke that story to you. Why? Because of the brave men and women over at FAM who decided to hand over the information to me and to give us really key pieces of details that showed us that Tulsi Gabbard was, in fact, added to a terror watch list. It resulted in me calling Tulsi Gabbard's team and letting them know, hey, heads up, your girl's just been added to a terror watch list. And as many of you guys know, Tulsi is crushing it right now as Director of National Intelligence. But all of this happens because of these brave men and women who came forward and said, hey, something's going on here. You need to see this. Well, we're thankful to have fought for those brave agents. And I do believe in my heart there might have been one person who might have been upset because we got the Quiet Skies list shut down thanks to Director of DHS, the Secretary, Kristi Noem. But it seemed like a lot of people felt like it was retaliatory because they had gotten that program shut down, which obviously produced millions of dollars in funding. So those members of the Air Marshal National Council received an email from obviously their executives. And in it specifically, and we're very thankful for this, they give us full credit here on InfoWars, saying this effort also included major national media exposure with investigative journalist Brianna Morello, host of InfoWars. And they give us full credit for helping them out in that. Now, on Friday, it's when official word was sent out. And for those who were logging into their server, received a notification stating that, yes, they too will be receiving those bonuses. And it breaks it down because it's going to be effective January 11th, it looks like, according to this message. And so it details how they're going to be receiving that bonus. Those, I shouldn't say bonus, it's a raise specifically. So, folks, we did a great job here on InfoWars of pushing to make sure that these folks, these brave folks who came forward and became whistleblowers, were not going to be retaliated against. And although TSA never claimed that to me, they quickly did respond, though, and let us know that everything has been handled and everything is going in the way of these federal air marshals. So we're glad to hear just that. That's the exclusive story that you won't see anywhere else, of course, because, well, journalists don't do actual journalism and don't help Americans out when they need it anymore. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about Hillary Clinton for a split second here. Hillary Clinton's back, and she's claiming that what we've always known, but she wants to sound a little rational, that mass migration is just out of control. And then, in fact, here in the United States, it went a little too far. Take a listen to clip 7.
I think we need to call it for what it is.
Secretary
Clinton.
There
is a legitimate reason to have a debate about things like migration. It went too far. It's been disruptive and destabilizing, and it needs to be fixed in a humane way with secure borders that don't torture and kill people.
In a humane way. She's someone who obviously has experience in that. Folks, again, she was highlighting it too during all of this conference, how Bill and Obama, how they were the big deporters in chief, and but they're claiming to have done it a little bit differently. Now, as many of you guys know, the Biden regime intentionally flooded this country with millions of illegal invaders, because they knew that this was going to be a hard thing to overcome, that the judges, the courts, everything was going to be overwhelmed and they weren't going to be able to deport all these people in time. And now, as you see, this mainstream media push to pretend like ICE is a bunch of demons running around this country, executing people for simply just peacefully protesting on the sides of the streets. That's their narrative. You and I both know it's false, but Hillary's going to run it and say, well, we were doing it in a humane way. The Trump administration's executing people in the streets. That's not the case. Obviously, we all know that. But that's how they're trying to swing things. Again, ICE is getting rid of the rapists that were intentionally imported into this country that the Biden regime knew were rapists in other countries. How do I know? Well, I had to sue TSA to get the documents, got those documents as a result, and the Biden regime was literally allowing convicted rapists into our country as long as they promised to play nice and take courses on how not to be a little rapey. Now, they really thought that these people were able to be rehabilitated and thrown back on our streets. This is what happened. This is how desperate they were to flood our system with these illegal invaders. Now, what are the results of all that? Well, obviously, the DHS, the Trump administration, they've got to deport all of these people. And when you're overwhelmed with those who they deem as, the left deems these people, as just people who may have a civil dispute in how they came into this country. Between that and the violent criminals who came into this country, it's obviously meant to create chaos. Again, they are creating this chaos by flooding these people into our country. And so that's what you've seen unravel here. I want to make sure this is on your radar. This is clip 8. This is Bill Gates. And it just goes to show how we've really been pushing forward this digital infrastructure. As many of you guys know, I've covered the biometrics angle and all of this. And time and time again, breaking exclusive stories about how DHS is lying to you in regards to your biometrics being tossed. TSA tells you at the airport, again, this was exclusive, and I did get TSA under the Biden administration to admit this to me. They claimed that when you take those images, those photos, that those images are quickly deleted from TSA's database. But what they don't tell you, and it was only because I was document diving, is that your biometrics are very likely being handed over to DHS, and DHS has a separate database. Now, when I asked for specific numbers, TSA, and thank you guys, TSA wouldn't give me any official numbers. They just said that there's a limited amount of Americans it's happening to. Isn't that something? And again, when I left the country and came back from Budapest, I was the only one who did not submit my biometrics to being brought into the country. Again, you don't have to do that. As American citizens, I know a lot of people like to go over the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act only requires non-U.S. citizens to have their biometrics taken at the airports when they're brought back in through customs and border. So make sure you know that. And I get it. Some people say, oh, Brianna, but they already have it. I don't care. I care. I care. It's all about conditioning you into thinking that you have to participate in this biometric scrap. Clip 8, though, shows Bill Gates doing just that. He's actually now making the link between capturing biometrics and, you know, pairing it up, of course, with your bank records, your payment systems, and digital IDs. Take a listen to Clippy.
Another place that India leads, but there's a lot more that all of you can be involved in driving forward, is this digital public infrastructure. You know, no country is more able to take government benefits and get them out efficiently and effectively to their citizens than India. You know, you would have expected rich countries or others to do that, but in fact, they did not. And so that basic structure that starts with identity and bank accounts and payments is just foundational. And as part of this visit, I'm now seeing how that foundation is being built out in agriculture with profiles of farmers to understand what they need and give them advice. Built out with health records so that we can help people not only with infectious diseases, but the challenge that's coming in the future with the growth of the non-communicable diseases being a huge thing. And that digital public infrastructure will help us with these climate problems. I was in Odisha yesterday, and
let me step in on this, because of course Bill Gates is pushing this nonsense, as he always does. And I don't even know why we allow him to speak at events anymore. We don't allow him. I don't understand why people don't just cancel him. I mean, the fact that he's so wrapped up into these Epstein files, continues to deny it. He's been caught many times lying to the American people about all of this. Why does this guy still get stage time? Oh, we know. No surprise there. All right, folks, we're taking your calls in the next portion of the show. 877-789-2539 is the number to call into if you want to join the program. We've got a lot to discuss there. So if you're on hold right now, stay put. We'll dive into those calls in just a bit. Got a lot more discussed. In the meantime, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. It is the 52% off mega sale going on right now over at the shop. You got to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. I actually just did, and I'm stocking up on my energy fuel shots right now. It's an incredible deal when you apply the discount. You're getting the best deal that I've seen so far on these items. I just ordered 3 boxes because ultimately with all the savings that you have going on right now over the shop, when you pay for 2, you're actually getting a 3rd one for free. That's just based on the savings. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you stock up on your favorite items right now.
There's a popular online meme. Alex Jones was right. Well, I'm not always right, but I'm right about 98% of the time, and I strive to be right. And not just with the news and information we cover and my predictions, but with the products we bring you. And all the products at thealexjonesstore.com are amazing. But the most powerful, the one that 99% of people have basically instant results with, I've met like 3 people out of 500 I've given to that didn't feel anything, is our Ultra Methylene Blue, made in Florida and 10 times stronger, incredible energy, 99% of people within 30 minutes feel the energy, no letdown, and it's so good for your cells. Again, it would take hours to get into all the things it does for your body. Ladies and gentlemen, it's available right now, back in stock. Get yours, and it keeps this broadcast and what we do on the air, so it's a 360 win. If you don't get our Ultra Methylene Blue, you're really missing out, and it really is better than any methylene blue I've ever taken. Believe me, you're missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com and get our Ultra Methylene Blue. It is simply insane.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on Methylene Blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans, and we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP. And it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule. It should have 2 hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1. It's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle. And it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue. And this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning. Next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby. I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot. And a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us today. All right, we're turning to the callers. I know, you know, my friends always tell me this is their favorite part of the show when we turn the mics to you all at home. So let's dive into some calls and hopefully we get to everyone on the list right now. Savage Dog is the first caller in. Savage Dog, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Hey, good on Fox Sports for keeping Shep Smith away from your icky girl cooties while you were there. I mean,
he was interesting.
Well, what kind of daycare are they running over there? Before I go into my point, I want to mention something about Halil Meek. If you're a Christian, in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:28. Says if it's been offered in sacrifice to an idol or a false god, don't eat it. So make sure that your food is blessed over God by God. You know, I don't know if you can change it. You know, it's supernatural stuff there, but don't eat Halil meat.
Yeah, yeah, no. And I ditched Buffalo Wild Wings a while ago too. So I highly recommend everyone. In my opinion, I don't support that type of stuff. But they might be franchise-owned. I'll give them that. That might be a franchise.
Man, but that spicy garlic's good stuff.
I know.
But, so the point of my call was, we've got these women, all these so-called victims. And I say so-called for a reason. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Me Too guy. I'm not going to say every woman's telling the truth. Mm-hmm. There's a percentage of them, and it's kind of anecdotally coming out, like some of them weren't introduced to him when they were young. They were older and were probably handlers and helpers and paid very well to facilitate young girls, you know, mm-hmm. being you know, brought in, so to speak. So I want to just put that little preface in here before I say, if you're really a victim and you're sitting here and you know exactly who your guys were, guy or guys, you know, the ones who abused you, go. I would suggest, and I don't know if there's any what the legal standing is on this. Go to your local sheriff and file charges against that person. Depending on your jurisdiction, you know, if you got a bad DA, you know, won't go anywhere. But if you're in Florida, you know, they might actually go extradite them or at least file charges. Bypass the federal system. If Bondi ain't going to do nothing, do it yourself and go locally. The sheriff's job is to uphold your constitutional rights. And if they were violated, he's got to go after them. Number one. The benefits to this even are, well, they're not federally charged. Now they're state charged. And if some commie president comes into power, they can't pardon him. And I'm pretty sure state prison treats pedophiles a lot more, or state prison handles the pedophile prisoner inmates more harshly than in a federal prison. Well, they'll be watched a lot more or protected.
Yeah.
So, they won't have a fun time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's crazy, too, because yesterday I posted that I was hoping that we could start doing something in regards to maybe pushing for legislation where it just exclusively goes out to those who were attacking children involved in the Epstein stuff. And I did say, you know, let's just present something that gets rid of the statute limitation for those. If there's actual, and this is a problem, right, because the photo that I was detailing for you guys earlier today, it's all black, so you can't see specifically what's in the image. But, I mean, if we're able to ID who these men are, these men, regardless of what the statute limitation is, and I'm usually an advocate for the statute for a reason, but if we have physical evidence that shows that they are raping children, F a statute limitation, go after these people. But I was informed that that could actually be deemed as unconstitutional because you can't make laws retroactively. And so that wouldn't really go anywhere, but it's just so frustrating because I keep hearing, oh, well, Brianna, the statue's up, but I don't want to hear that. I want these animals to be put down. I don't even, actually, you can't even call them animals. The animals are actually loving and caring and have some form of empathy. anyone involved in any of this is a demonic human being who needs to be put down. So Savage Dog, I'm with you on this. It's so frustrating to see. And also I'm someone who's very much against the Me Too movement as well. We see when it's done. I've jumped on board and supported women who sounded like, based on hospital records and images and videos and things of that nature, that, yeah, I mean, she's telling the truth. And we find out down the line that these women were lying. So when it comes to the Epstein files and these victims, I'm tired of them telling us, and we've played this before, telling us that the files are going to, we're going to create a list, and we're going to put out our own name soon, and they haven't still done it. And they made those claims back in last spring. So, yeah, I'm just over all of it. At this point now, having Epstein fatigue, it doesn't mean that I want to completely let go of the issue. It just means that I want to crunch down and get to the core of all of this and just hash this out while we still can. Savage Dog, thank you for waiting on hold as long as you have. I greatly appreciate your time as always. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Let's work our way down the list. I could ramble about this all day. Bill is on hold right now from Wisconsin. Bill, welcome back to the show. He is the founder of the Laura Loomer Fan Club as well. Bill, thank you for being here.
Wow. Big show.
Yeah.
The Epstein files are a political gut punch. I'm calling you today from warm Wisconsin, Brianna. It's like 50 degrees over here.
What?
Yesterday, it was so warm yesterday, I waxed my truck.
Oh, so Bill, that's good to hear.
Yeah, it makes everybody a little happier. Anyway, happy anniversary.
Thank you, Bill.
Happy anniversary. You reminded me of how proud I am that I didn't take that shot. And I knew, I mean, because you know me, I knew when they go, oh, this COVID, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? That was another political gut punch right there. That was, you know, I never wore the mask. When you were, even before you said, oh, I'm really proud I didn't do that, I was already writing the note here. She just reminded me of how proud I am of that. How I would have grown men. I remember this one at the hardware store. Hardware store guy comes up to me with this book. I'm like, my God, in this dirty mask that he had on, he's yelling at me that I could kill somebody in there. Just unbelievable. I can tell you at least three of those grown men coming up to my face like that, dude, like sick. And what they did to us, just pathetic.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Bill, so, I can't believe we lived through that too, by the way. It's so hard for me to wrap my mind around that this actually happened. And the worst part is zero people have been held accountable for all of this. But most importantly, everyone wants just to move on. But I mean, the fact that they were able to kind of groom children into thinking that it's okay for the government to decide what kind of medical treatments you should receive, experimental medical treatments you should receive, and you should wear a mask. The government tells you to wear a mask. I mean, these kids in years from now, when they pull this nonsense again, they'll think that this is normal because they lived through it in their younger years. And it's sad because the adults, it was up to them to push back and to fight for our rights and to show them that absolutely not. We do not allow our government to force us into experimental jabs and to take all these things and to pretend like it's okay. Like, we've now faulted. And I'm really disappointed that all the adults in the room didn't speak up on that front, though, Bill. And that's kind of where I'm at.
It was bad. But you know what? It's all connected to this, where we are today. And this is another reason, what I'm going to get to about the Epstein thing and how this is affecting people and why this is such a big political gut punch. But Viva Fry, I'm like, can I just say what Viva Fry said? Well, what Viva Fry is saying, pretty much everybody agrees with him. And then you can go off on, you know, different things here and there. But what I told your screener, I go, well, what are you going to talk about? I go, I'm almost speechless. Off with the nice weekend, I'm kind of away from stuff. I was just watching a little bit, you know, but not really. You come back Monday, and my sister calls me this morning. I'm like, oh, okay, what's up with this? Hello. Here's what she says. Epstein didn't kill himself. I go, what? I'm laughing. And then she goes, no, he's a survivor. He has all this stuff in place. She's an big company, you know, very smart. She's also just a sweetheart, never been in trouble, normal, you know. So this for her, this is done here. It's because of the Epstein thing. This Epstein thing, people are hearing about this. And after she's told me, oh, Epstein didn't kill himself. Okay, we laugh a little bit. Oh, yeah, no kidding. Though she's like, oh, yeah, he even had suicide sheets. How could he? Blah, blah, blah. So bring us up to where we are. This whole Epstein thing, this political gut punch.
Yeah.
This isn't going away.
Yeah.
This is not going away. This ain't going away. And as more and more comes out, and the thing is, even I, talking to my sister, I go, hey, did you see this picture of that? You can't even say the words. You can't describe this stuff. People, it's a psyche thing. People have a hard time, you know, even letting this into their brain. All of a sudden, my sister's like, I can't. She goes, here, let me send you a picture of our lemons. She's in Arizona right now. Oh, she sends a picture. We just got 6 buckets of lemons off the lemon tree. Okay, cool. Well, I got to go swim. They can't. It can't. It's too much. And this is going to really turn people off.
Yeah.
This is going to get, we're already, you know, the whole thing. Democrats are, you drive around, you'll see Democrat office for this county. That county has a Democrat office. This one, this city. There's none for the Republicans.
Yeah.
Maybe two. There's two. Okay. The one that got spray painted. No, this thing isn't going to go away. And it's kind of making me speechless because it's pretty bad. And you can't really, how is this bad? You know, what's really bad? Trump has to do something quick. He's got to do something. He should fire some people who should have resigned on their own. Just being, oh, you're like, oh, my God, Trump. I'm in the Epstein files, and I lied, and they found out about it, and I had to go say, yeah, I took my kids there. Dude, you have to go.
Yeah.
You should be resigning like that, or Trump should be going, oh, no, Trump, I didn't hear about it. I'll have to talk to him about that.
Well, Bill,
people need action. Yeah.
I don't have much in the way of hope, honestly, after we've seen how he's handled it thus far. I think he's just over it and wants it to go away. And I don't think he's ever going to really address it head on. And I think that's really the frustrating angle in all of this. And I know a lot of people, and we'll get to our next caller, believe that this whole thing has become a hoax. And I understand to a certain point, I agree with the people who've been pushing this forward and making this very political. I understand, and I'm very much against that. But, man, we can't sit here and dust this off and let this go. Bill, I want to thank you, as always, for calling. And you have great content, of course, as the founder of the Laura Loomer Fan Club. So we appreciate you calling in, as always, my friend. And we look forward to talking to you soon. I want to get to Rip, because I think Rip might have a little bit of a dispute in regards to the Epstein files and, you know, how it's been covered so far. So, Rip, welcome to the show. You're calling us in right now from Texas, it looks like. So welcome.
No, thank you, Brianna. Yeah, just a quick plug. I was like, oh, crap, I got through, so I may as well take some of my supplements now. So I'm wearing an Alex Jones sweatshirt with, and I just took Nitric Boost, the turmeric, and the methylene blue. So I'm feeling kind of sharp right now. But anyway, so big plug, I'm a VIP. But in regards to the COVID thing, yeah, I was like one of 10 people in my entire software company that did not get the shot. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I worked remote. And I wasn't, you know, you can't travel anymore. And I was like, that's fine with me. But there was only 10 of us out of 2,500 people that didn't get the shot. And wow. It's sad. I feel bad for those people. But specifically what I called was about the Epstein stuff. And you know, I don't think Trump is in it. I honestly don't. They've already barbecued him. We all know this. But I think Trump is so siloed with information through Susie Wiles and his extended team. I think they're consciously doing this to sabotage him. And the ultimate effect of that is going to be, come November, the American population is not going to see accountability, which that's, you look on social media, look on X, that's all everybody wants is accountability, specifically the wood chipper. I feel like they're slow walking it to the end. Mm-hmm. And, what's curious about it is Bannon Trump is really tied into social, into the podcast. I mean, he had dinner with Patrick Bette David. Mm-hmm. So he knows what we're saying. All his kids know what's saying. That's what I'm incredulous to the fact that they're not saying anything to him like, Dad, you need to address this. Dad, it's not going to go away, because what's going to happen is come November, we're not going to show up. He's going to get impeached. Might lose the Senate. If he loses the Senate, all hell's going to break loose. And then come 2028, they're going to come after him and his entire family and his entire bloodline. And then ultimately, by extension, us. And I'm going to El Salvador 2.5 weeks to buy a place to find a place to buy, because I have 3 beautiful daughters, 11, 9, and 7. And I'm sitting here looking at them, and they're beautiful, blonde hair, beautiful girls. You know, they're going to grow up to be gorgeous women. And I'm having nightmares about them. and what they're going to have to encounter. And so I'm just going to make plans to get out of this country. And unfortunately, God has provided the provision where I can do this, but it's not looking good. Specifically what you talked about, those big warehouses where they can house 10,000 detainees. I see that. That sets off alarm bells for me, specifically because Trump has not deported near the quantity that all the previous presidents have done this point in their term. He hasn't. And I see those, and I'm like, are we getting back to FEMA camps? So, you know, prepare people. You know, I'm prepared here where I am in Texas, but I'm still going to sell this place and go further out in the country. And if the Band-Aid does get ripped off, I'm chunking a deuce and I'm out of here.
Well, Rip, my question for you is, when it comes to detention facilities that they've just recently started purchasing up around the country, are you not concerned about them being utilized against illegal aliens? I think, are you saying that, like, and this is where I'm kind of at with it, are you saying that this could possibly be used against us, the American people, eventually when another administration comes into place?
Yes, yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's like all of MAGA has a target on its back, and Trump is just sitting here allowing these people to slow walk it. And then, boom, he loses the election. Boom, they come after Trump and his extended family and all of his administration. And then, by extension, eventually they start coming after us. And then it kicks off.
Yeah.
Then it kicks off. And it's just like, is that where we are? Is he that, you know, focused in on Fox News, MSNBC, where nobody watches besides anybody that's over, you know, over 55, which I'm 57. But it's like, I'm just going, why is he doing this? And it just, it begs the question. The people around him are intentionally leading him off the cliff. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, they're going to lead his family off the cliff. And then ultimately, he's going to lead all of MAGA off the cliff. And those detention facilities, 10,000? Why do you need that much space when you're going to just deport them?
Well, the problem is Rip, and we'll have to, you know, get someone else in a second, but I wanted to jump on this part. The problem is that the Biden administration allowed millions of these illegal invaders into our country, and now they're arguing whether or not, because they're here, they get due process, which I disagree with. I don't think that they are supposed to be receiving due process, but apparently that's a legal argument to be had. And so the administration has just shifted over, like, hey, we're going to have to do due process. We have to wait for the courts to rule to deport them. I mean, as you saw last week, we reported that Judge Boasberg has ruled that the 100 that they shifted over to El Salvador, they want them back into our country. And although that's insane, that's what they're up against right now. So they do need the facilities just for that alone. But I understand, because anything that's been told to us as something to help protect the American people has been used against us. And so, Rip, I wouldn't argue against that claim that this could potentially be used against us. I would say you're spot on there. And Rip, congratulations for sticking up for medical freedom as well. It is a heck of a fight, and I'm very proud of everyone else who jumped in that fray. So thank you. Let's get to Sean in California. Sean, welcome to the show. I hear you want to also talk about Epstein, so welcome.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. Am I coming in loud and clear for you?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Excellent. So I have a couple of things, but the first is what I called in about. With the Epstein situation and Steve Bannon interviewing him, if we want to get to the nature of Steve Bannon, years ago, Roger Stone exposed that Steve Bannon and Nikki Haley during the first term of Trump were going to try to get him out and then have Nikki Haley run as the Avenger of Trump. So Nikki Haley, Steve Bannon. Bannon going to Epstein Island, if you were paying attention to InfoWars, that was actually covered, this interview. So for some of us, it's like Bannon's true colors. We've known about him all along, working at cross ends. That's why, you know, Trump started calling him Sloppy Steve. And then Bannon also turned on Roger Stone and perjured himself to get Roger Stone raided during the WikiLeaks trials. Yeah. So you should probably consider Roger Stone, let him tell it from his point of view, that storyline, which, if you remember, Randy Credico was a third person. Credico was the guy with the dog that both Bannon and Stone were like, hey, you need to, you know, fess up about the Julian Assange emails from Seth Rich's laptop. And the second point, I'm doing this fast, I know you got time constraints. The second point is that the radical left and the left are saying, yeah, we got Trump at Epstein Island, blah, blah, but they don't want to look at the Clinton emails. They don't want to look at the Hunter Biden laptop, and they don't want to look at the stuff in the Epstein emails and Epstein files that actually clears Donald Trump. So it's a thing where they just don't want anything unless it suits their narrative. And there are people doing things around Trump, I would say, right now that help them. Look at those red coat attorneys, and you'll know where to look. Yeah. And Brianna, got any comments or rebuttals to that?
Yeah, Sean, I mean, when it comes, and I'm glad also you just mentioned, because I was supposed to mention it in the show today, the Seth Rich situation, because the laptop, which was supposed to be handed over by the FBI, has not yet been handed over by the FBI. And I did actually follow up yesterday, too, to see where that all falls. As many of you guys know, Ty Clevenger is the one who's been fighting that legal battle in court. I did reach out to him to see what the status of it still is, because I do intend on renewing our push to release that laptop. And Sean, I'm glad you just reminded me, because I totally left this out of the show today. I was supposed to put this in. But yeah, I was pretty much told that this has been kind of pushed down like a can just being kicked out the road, that there's a judge in Texas that has done nothing for 8 months on all of this. So again, this was supposed to be ruled on pretty soon. Or, I mean, it was already ruled on. They had a hand over the laptop, but they haven't done it so far. So that's a good one to push forward. So thank you for that. Yeah. And, you know, the Steve Bannon stuff, I see what Roger's been posting about him on X. I mean, I think it's fair to ask these questions. And I'm actually glad that folks are jumping on board with all of this. Sean, MTG and others. We saw General Michael Flynn as well. And we've got questions that are worth answering. And I don't think he can get away with not answering those questions. I think that's what he thinks the PR strategy is. But I would say probably not the best. Sean, thank you for calling. All right. We got about 3 minutes left. So I'm going to turn to Marcus and see if we get to another caller. Marcus, welcome to the show. I hear you want to talk about the East Plano Islamic Center. So what's on your mind?
Yeah, I want to say that if you took the C off of Epic Center, you would get Epicenter, as in an earthquake. And I think that's exactly what they intend to do, is utilize the Epic Center to push the Islamic agenda across the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, I saw a story this last week that was indicating that AI was hiring people to do things that it wouldn't do, wouldn't be able to do. And one of them was holding up a sign that said, AI has hired me to hold this sign up for $100. So it's just rubbing people's face in the dirt. And I think in the future, what we're going to have is AI is going to end up owning people and buying and selling them. It might not be America first, and maybe Africa or some other third world area, but that is definitely on the works, because you can't trust this system when it goes into the mode where it's been lying to people. It's mm-hmm. been trying to tell them. I mean, it's been doing a lot of horrible things already. And as it exponentially grows and grows and grows, it's going to take over. It's going to take over financially. It's going to and it's going to take over the human condition. And I think it will be a slaver for the for people and the world.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the AI takeover has me deeply concerned. And I know many people are, obviously. But sadly, Marcus, you know, this administration has just been going all in on it. And they, you know, they continue to justify it. I know a lot of people internally who truly believe this tell me that they want, you know, the United States to be the front runner in AI. They don't want countries like China to outdo us. And so that's the reason why we're going all in with AI. It puts me on edge, especially because the Pentagon continues to tell us, and I was there front and center when they held that. It's not really a press briefing. It was more of a discussion between Elon Musk and the secretary of the Pentagon. Obviously, that is Pete Hegseth. And I was very much on edge. So, Marcus, I'm with you on it. I don't like it. And the Epic Center, I mean, we the people got that delayed. And it's not even shut down. It could still be built up a couple of years from now. But kicking the can down the road was because of Christian conservatives who flooded that hearing out, Marcus. So I want everyone to know that. Not the politicians. Ken Paxton's done a great job, though. One of the very few who was willing to talk to us about this from the very beginning. But I want to just keep saying this, that Christian conservatives, I was there front and center. We flooded out the room where we're supposed to be, the courtroom where we're all supposed to be. They had an overflow room. We overflowed the overflow room. And it was a proud moment for Texans, because we represented proudly, and it forced the judge Chris Hill, who, by the way, is up for re-election. I'm very proud of what he's done so far in regards to Epic. But he said, all right, you know, we don't even know if we have the infrastructure to build up Epic. For those of you who are unaware, they bought 400 acres. Again, it wasn't purchased with the idea that this was going to become an Islamic center, but it since has. They're trying to build it up to be this massive area where it's a Muslim compound. And we've been fighting this battle for quite some time over in Collin County, but it's a battle worth fighting. And it's happening all across red states, folks. Wake up. All right, this is it for me. Thank you for jumping on board with us today on the American Journal. Alex is up next on the Alex Jones Show, so don't go anywhere.
We've got- got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works. It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feeling, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or
what? No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean compared
just
to?
Just the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue. At TheAlexShowStore.com.
Unlimited power.
Volunteer power.
Woo!